Jones.
Alex 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 Jones.
How would you describe him?
He's a hugely influential conspiracy theorist.
His ravings are untethered from reality.
It's a nasty piece of work, but I think he's also a deflating windbag.
He's not right in the head.
I'm very pro-free speech, and the word dangerous is used far too liberally. In his case, I think it's actually justified.
Yeah. Could he be a threat to American democracy?
Everyone thinks he's a crazy motherfucker, and they never heard him talk. They think he's just nuts. And he is crazy, he is. But you gotta be crazy to stand in front of the world and put your ass on the line and say the things he's saying. So you gotta be a little crazy. It's like a rock star, like Axl Rose. Oh, he's crazy. Yeah, he's Axl fucking Rose.
There is a war for your mind.
Information is the unlock.
Information war.
I come to you with a spring in my step, a song in my heart, emotionally and spiritually refreshed, because you know how, as humans, we have to accept the fact that sometimes bad things happen to good people? Well, by the grace of God, sometimes bad things happen to Alex Jones.
That's a good thing.
The despicable and ridiculous Alex Jones
deserves every minute of torture.
I don't like giving people like Alex Jones a platform, but what do you do? He's out there.
Tucker Carlson continues to fawn over Jones, calling
him one of the most important truth tellers in America today.
What does it mean for the future of InfoWars?
InfoWars.com.
This is InfoWars, right?
I think everybody wants to know, will
he be shut down?
This verdict shuts down Alex Jones? Good.
I guess the good guys just won the InfoWars.
He is the number one threat to these people.
Take the bullhorn away.
You know, kicked us off the internet, tried to ban our IP, got banks to cancel us, lawsuits, censorship, investigations from the FBI. I mean, everything has been thrown at us.
Take him out. Make certain he can't rebuild the platform.
That's what matters.
I hope that we never see someone like him again.
InfoWars.com lives. People can come to my show every day, 11 a.m. Central, and they can hear what I'm actually saying, Piers, versus what you're trying to put in my mouth.
You got God's warriors coming together, like the SWAT team of free thought.
It has become more than ever a litmus test as to whether you get what's going on in the world or not.
This is InfoWars, right?
If you don't get what Alex Jones represents, if you can't recognize that Alex Jones is the real deal, you don't get anything.
We're going to give this information on InfoWars.
You have no concept of the wider perspective here. If you still can't see through the lies that are telling you that Alex Jones is somehow not who he says he is, you still can't get it.
We've been fighting this battle for a long time, Alex, and we just got to salute you as a Christian and as American, because you paved the way to make braver soldiers like us today.
This is about good versus evil and God fighting the devil. You got to pick a side now.
InfoWarriors.
All we ever do is promote human freedom of every race, color, and creed. Our message is really imperative for everyone to understand, like, this is the way out. It's about understanding that every single human being has a right to live their life the way they want, unmolested and uncontrolled by those with more power than them. So no matter what they say about us, no matter how they want to portray us, just know that InfoWars really represents something totally unique, totally special, and an existential threat to the most vicious, evil, totalitarian, and importantly, miserable people on the earth. Who is the number one player in all of this? Who is the number one symbol of alternative media and, you know, internet content?
It is the legend that is Alex Jones, and you were fighting on the front line, and now we're here with you. You got some other superheroes, part of the Avenger movie, fighting for Christ and free speech.
Folks, we really are going to save this country, and we really are going to save this planet.
On InfoWars, think about that for a second.
They're going to remember Alex Jones. They're going to remember InfoWars.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
We'll be right back.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Harrison Smith. I am Brianne Morello filling in for Harrison. He did us a solid today and was hosting on the American Journal while I made my way to the Pentagon. In case you missed it, I am now a full-time credentialed Pentagon reporter. Finally, we're kicking out the corporate media and we're bringing in some, I guess you could say young blood, but also people who understand what the American people want to know. And when they get into that press room, well, they're going to ask the questions that the American people truly want to hear answers to. And so it was great to be there today. We'll play you some clips from that presser. We did carry it live, though, as well. But we'll bring you some of the best of moments, I guess, of the press conference, of course. One of those best of moments, okay, I'm a little biased. It's going to be clip one where I asked Kinsley Wilson a very tough question in regards to the Afghan migrants that were shuffled into this country by the Biden regime and placed on U.S. military bases. Now, the interesting part to this is a lot of those individuals were accused later of committing very violent crimes. There was physical assault as well as sexual assault allegations that came about. And sadly, the Biden administration then just stopped reporting everything. And a lot of things got kind of shoved under the rug. They didn't want the American people to know that the individuals they brought into our country were actually violent criminals. So I asked the press secretary of the Department of War that specific question. Do they plan on giving us the stats on the crime that was committed by these Afghan migrants? Here's how that went. Yes. Thank you, Kinsley. A question for you in regards to the Afghan withdrawal. When we brought all these migrants onto military bases, or these refugees onto military bases, we saw a surge in assaults immediately after, sexual assaults and physical assaults. And then all of a sudden, under the previous administration, we no longer learned of anything that was happening anymore on these military bases. Does this Pentagon plan on giving us some type of criminal data on that to see what actually happens when they were brought onto these military bases? And do we have any status updates on, like, FBI investigations and such?
So for FBI investigations, anything that would be a criminal law enforcement matter would obviously be something to direct to the Department of Justice, as we cannot speak to that from our perch here at the Department of War. But what I can tell you is that we are aware of a lot of that activity that went on. It's despicable. One is too many, right? And we understand that the Biden administration unfortunately put our troops in our country last in many cases. The secretary is committed to correcting that. And I think that's what you're going to see going forward.
As you heard there, we didn't get really a direct answer in response to whether we got the statistics or not, but it's an issue that they take very, very seriously. And of course, we will be following up on that. Joining me to discuss in person in Washington, D.C. is Wade Miller. He's the senior advisor for Center for Renewing America, the executive director for Citizens for Renewing America. And he is a veteran, so he's perfect on this subject matter and so much more. Wade, thank you for being here. It's an honor.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
It's exciting to have you here. We are in the swamp territory. I was joking about this. It takes a lot to get me here, but the Pentagon really making incredible moves. I guess we'll start with just getting your take. Kinsley was someone who worked with you. Now she's the press secretary over the Department of War. What's it like seeing her on the main stage?
It's exciting. As you said, she's a former colleague.
Yeah, well, I think that's really important, too. And we are going to keep talking about that. Is the microphone live?
I have levels.
I'll keep talking. In the meantime, though, folks, you know, we're just working things out here in D.C. And, of course, a lot can happen. A lot can happen. But we're going to keep you up to date on this. We're fixing all these issues here. Keep in mind, though, we are at the Rumble studio, and we're very thankful for that. The presser today, let me just give you some highlights on the press conference today. Kinsley Wilson, and I can't slip up and use her previous last name, but Kinsley Wilson, an incredible, incredible person. She's an incredible person. It was an honor to be there with her today, and truly something quite impressive. Now, she was grilled a lot, but thrown a lot of tough questions. When you look back at the pressers that were held by those in the corporate media and what they were doing, well, they weren't asking these tough questions. She was asked questions about in regards to the strikes that are very controversial right now, of course, if you're an ally of the narco-terrorists. And she was grilled about a couple of other subject matters, including foreign affairs that are going on right now and our views as to whether or not we should be getting involved in a lot of this. So, you know, as we continue to discuss this, we are good on this. I wanted to get Wade to comment again. You know, I played the clip going into this of me asking Kinsley Cortez Wilson, I keep doing this, Kinsley, whether or not, you know, we're going to find out the stats about these Afghan migrants who were brought into the U.S. military bases. But here's the thing. A lot of these people are, they say, vetted, unvetted. I don't think the American people understand the issue here when it comes to that. Regardless if you vet these people, as we saw sadly last week in D.C., there was someone who was vetted by the Biden administration, then granted asylum by our current administration, but they were given the information from the previous administration. So it's a toss-up there. And then they're claiming that this individual is radicalized here on U.S. soil. Can we really trust these people and bring them into our country?
No. We wrote a paper on this at the time explaining why this could not be done, why we should not be bringing all these people over, because on a large scale, well, one, a lot of them just were not actually vetted. They got them on planes and got them here, and they handled that all on the back end. But even the people who are actually vetted, they're not actually vetted in the way that you and I would think that they would be doing. So do they ask them in terms of, are they suitable for entrance amongst us in our communities? They don't ask them questions like, do you believe that Sharia law should be supreme to the Constitution? They don't ask them, do you believe that apostates should be killed? Do you believe in Stoney? Do you believe in child marriage? They don't ask them the questions that you would actually think of that they're vetting them on. They just do it from a perspective of, are they an active militant that is a member of ISIS or Al-Qaeda or the Taliban? Are they on some sort of international watch list? And that's it. And it's really not about suitability. And so we have all of these highly radicalized populations here that have really extreme viewpoints. And just because they haven't personally put on a suicide vest or engaged in actual hostility against us, they're deemed okay. They're vetted. They're green. You know, they get the check mark and they enter into our societies. This never should have been the case. And that's why we're seeing all of these crimes and all of these things happening with these communities and radicalized, because they're not suitable for our population.
Yeah, and I want to talk a little bit about the background checks because, you know, our borders are. Tom Homan made a great point. Mm-hmm. We're not turning to the Taliban and asking, hey, are these one of your terrorists? There's really no way to understand if these people were terrorists in Afghanistan.
No, and like you can't just contact an office in like Kabul or whatever, some place in Afghanistan and say, are these people legit? So many of them are using fraudulent IDs or they just don't have records. I mean, these are tribal territories, people living in valleys with little no internet, little electricity. They're living in like the 18th, 17th century. So it's ridiculous to suggest that we could contact a foreign government and properly identify them.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to make any sense to me. And we'll continue to watch it as it unravels, of course, the president stepping in saying he's had enough of this. He's not going to allow these people into our country anymore, which I think is the right tone to take up. He was a little bit more aggressive, too, today, especially those who are coming from Somalia and hate this country. And I'm thankful he's getting aggressive on this issue because so many people refuse to get aggressive on this issue because they don't want to hurt someone's feelings. But the reality of it is we've taken in a lot of people from countries that do not like us and really truly don't have much to contribute to our country. And I think that should be a top priority when it comes to immigration policy. I'll let you react to that before we turn to our next subject.
Yeah, and there's multi-layered, repeated polling. Mm-hmm. Pew has done these studies of political viewpoints and radicalized viewpoints amongst these populations all over the Islamic world. And all of them are super high. Like the average person in most of these countries is highly radicalized, including Somalia. So this concept applies broadly. We shouldn't be bringing people from Somalia. We shouldn't be bringing people from Sudan. We shouldn't be bringing people from Afghanistan. We should just have bans on people coming here. It's not safe for the United States of America for a variety of reasons.
Yeah. And it's not. And it's kind of interesting to sit back and watch as the media makes this argument, which is against, honestly, safety, national security. And it's almost like this treason at this point. But I kind of want to make that a segue, because as they sit there and continue to defend these people we're bringing in that we don't know who they are, they're also defending narco-terrorists. They're going after, right, and they have no shame sitting here and trying to defend people who are trying to smuggle fatal drugs into our country. And they're not happy because the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, and President Donald Trump are pushing back and they're leading strikes. You know, the Biden administration literally allowed it to get funneled in, no questions asked. Allowed it to happen. Someone even saved and even helped the cartel. That's what I would say at this point. They made it so easy for them to do this. And now you have a president who's pushing back a bit. I wanted to play this clip for you because, again, this is Kinsley, who spoke earlier today at the press conference and was asked these tough questions in clip two about the narco-terrorists and the strikes being led right now by the Secretary of War and members of his cabinet. So just take a listen.
In the interest of transparency, I want to provide an update on the department's operations against narco-terrorists in the Western Hemisphere. To date, there have been a total of 21 kinetic strikes on drug boats in our hemisphere, with 82 narco-terrorists killed. Each strike conducted against these designated terrorist organizations is taken in defense of vital U.S. national interests and to protect the homeland. Our operations in the Southcom region are lawful under both U.S. and international law, with all actions in compliance with the law of armed conflict. These actions have also been approved by the best military and civilian lawyers up and down the chain of command. A completely fake story in the Washington Post, now discredited by the New York Times, tried to mischaracterize these successful strikes in bad faith. It was an attempt to damage the secretary and the president, and the people saw through it. The phony Washington Post story even attributed statements to the secretary that were totally fabricated. He never said them. That is the epitome of fake news. As the White House confirmed yesterday, the decision to restrike the narco-terrorist vessel was made by Admiral Bradley, operating under clear and long-standing authorities to ensure the boat was destroyed and the threat to the United States was eliminated. Secretary Hegseth stands behind Admiral Bradley 100%. Admiral Bradley made the right call, and unlike the previous administration, we have our warfighters back at this department.
See, it's good to hear all of that. Wait, I want you to react a bit here, because when we sit there and listen to it, everything sounds fair. But for some reason, the Washington Post ran a story that even the New York Times had a fact check and says it's not true. Your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, the initial claim here was that Pete Hegseth just decided to willy-nilly violate international law and murder people.
Yeah.
And his argument was that these are foreign terrorist organizations that we have designated as such. And we wrote a paper years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, saying we should do this. We should designate them as foreign terrorist organizations, and we should stop treating this as a law enforcement matter and treat it as what it is, which is a coordinated effort with China to fundamentally undermine our entire society using illicit drugs. But hundreds of thousands of Americans are dying. Communities are breaking up. China wants this to happen. This is why China is facilitating the fentanyl trade into the United States. Same way in which all the opium from Afghanistan goes to Russia and China. And the reason the CIA is okay with that, because they want to destabilize societies. China's doing the same thing to us. We have a right to defend our borders. The Secretary of Defense can designate them, the president can designate them as foreign terrorist organization, and the Secretary of Defense can authorize military action against that enemy of the United States. They are operating in a field of battle that is the Caribbean in international waters. The Secretary of Defense is ordering a strike. And so what happened is Secretary of War Pete Hegseth issued this order. The operational commander made decisions, split-second decisions to attack and then assess in real time what was needed next. We don't have all the operational intelligence. We don't know what was going on. We don't know if there were other boats in the area that were coming in to assist and help. We don't know if the boat was still intact and they were making radio communications. There's all sorts of scenarios we don't know. But at the end of the day, they're not uniformed. They're unlawful combatants. They're designated terrorists. And I think that we need to, and Congress should speak into this if necessary, but we need to give leeway to the executive branch to carry out this mission in order to win it. And if there's some manual that says you can't do this or an international agreement, we need to change that. We need to fight these international foreign terrorist organizations, and we need to fight to win. And we should not pretend that they should have the same protections as a uniformed military soldier fighting us on a Navy vessel or on the ground. And the other thing that we're completely disregarding is we used to do this on a daily basis in Afghanistan and Iraq. Apaches and KC-130 attack, they would actively shoot these guys with cannons using infrared scopes at night so they couldn't see the airplanes. We were doing this from a long distance. These people would start scattering, running, dropping their weapons. You can go on YouTube and look at it right now. No one ever said that that was a war crime. No one ever said that we need to prosecute Obama or Biden or Bush for attacking the Taliban in the field of battle. So what we have here is basically we have the left are weaponizing their agenda, and they're siding with foreign terrorists that are actively attacking the United States through various methods in order to score political points when all the Secretary of War is doing his job in protecting the United States of America.
Yeah, and wait, the concerning part here, too, is, you know, when Lloyd Austin was running the Pentagon, gone for a week, MIA, having surgery, didn't tell the White House, they were unaware of all of this. We didn't hear much. We didn't hear much pushback from these lefties. But now, all of a sudden, they're going after Pete Hegseth. And I don't think I've ever seen them go after a secretary this aggressively. From the very moment he was announced as President Trump's pick, they were gunning for him, and they're still doing that now. Every single day, it feels like they're battling out a story just from our own media, trying to pretend like there's some type of behind the scenes feud going on right now. Am I overselling it? Does this feel abnormal?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the reason they're going after him is because he is not your prototypical yes man. Mm-hmm. He is there to change the military back to a lethal instrument to defend the United States and destroy our enemies. And no more woke nonsense. It's about merit. It's about lethality. It's about character. But it's about daily waking up and training to learn how to kill our enemies the most efficiently as possible. And that means gutting the entire system, getting rid of all of these embedded bureaucracies who are aligned against this, getting these beard-stroking lawyers out of the way so that we can actually do what we need to do to defend the country. And, you know, like, there's a lot of recent history in the U.S. government where our lawyers just overly beard-stroke. And they're just blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, yes, the law needs to be followed. Ethics need to be followed. But we also need to destroy terrorists. And so just get out of the way and let us kill the terrorists and defend the country. And at the end of the day, I'm fine with conversations on, you know, what did the rules say? How should we amend them? And making sure we're adhering to things. But I also don't want to second guess an admiral who is making real time, split second decisions and an operational environment with active, you know, with troops in combat to defend and degrade and destroy, defend our people and destroy the target. And I think that we shouldn't be second guessing them as a nation. And I think that the admiral did his job admirably and mission accomplished, killed terrorists. Yay. Let's do that some more.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're hoping for. And I guess I kind of want to get your take on this, too, because a lot of the questions that were coming out of the press today at the Pentagon were, you know, it's not just Venezuela bringing drugs into the United States. Obviously, we have Colombia as well, but we also have a lot of other countries over in the region that are also smuggling drugs in. So the hyper focus is on Venezuela, but they don't bring the majority of the drugs into the United States right now. Do you think that President Trump and possibly Pete Hegseth are going to kind of put their heads together to figure out, should we go after other countries or just kind of like leave it as is?
Sure. And we kind of lay this out. Like we don't say in our paper where we're saying we should go to war with these guys. And like I'm not a neocon. I want to get out of forever wars, nation building, but these people are actually killing hundreds of thousands of Americans. We should stop that. I'm not an isolationist, but I don't want to waste our military overseas on fruitless endeavors. But you can't pick a fight with all of them. You need to pick one, the weakest link, start cutting them off. Pick another one, move down the chain. And then eventually I think that you'll see that the cartels will start regulating their own activities so that they stay under the radar and stop, you know, pissing off the American government.
Yeah, well, we'll see how this all pans out. So far, the footage, I have not seen the footage yet. I don't think it's been released. And I get that's kind of my question right now. If everything is good, let's release the footage. So we'll keep our ears to that, and I will continue to ask the Pentagon as well. Before you go, though, Wade, I wanted to get your take on this because today, as I was kind of scrolling through my X feed, Elise Stefanik, the great congresswoman from the state of New York, she's going after Speaker Mike Johnson. Now, it's very interesting because I've heard from members of Congress that they have not been happy with the speaker, that he continues to go out there and be a speaker, not for just Republicans, but also for Democrats and trying to negotiate with them, although Democrats would never do the same for those on the right. And so for them, that's very concerning. But, you know, Stefanik's going out there and she's calling out Speaker Johnson about one of the House bills and a provision that she personally wanted in there. The New York Republican who serves as a member of Johnson's leadership team said in a social post today that she would help tank the National Defense Authorization Act if her provision was not incorporated, which many believe would have prevented or would kind of sound the alarm on like an Arctic frost from happening, and it would alert members of Congress and something like it said that's going on when people who are running for election for federal office, that they'll be made aware if there's an investigation into them. What do you make of all of this? Because the speaker is denying it, but it's not the first time I've heard this.
Good for her. You know, the president is doing just about everything he can do. There's more to come on his end of the executive branch. Congress is dropping the ball. And, you know, I'm a victim of the Arctic Frost investigation, even though I had nothing to do with J6. I'm a victim of it. They accessed my payroll records, even though I didn't work for the entity that they were probably looking for until 3 months after J6. So I am like, why? Why? Like who, what Republican is going to vote against this? Why is that a deal breaker? Why isn't that automatically in the bill? What's going on here? And I think that, by and large, Republican leadership in Congress is dropping the ball. There's so many different fights we should be having. There's so many things we should be doing. Boasberg, why haven't we had a vote to impeach him yet? Mm-hmm. You know, there's all sorts of things we could be doing that we have not done yet. And this is a classic example of an easy win. And if someone's going to oppose this, force them to vote against it. Let's see who's actually opposing it. And if NDAA tanks because of that, fine. We don't need the NDAA. Mm-hmm. We already have appropriations for DOD. NDAA doesn't actually have to be passed. In fact, I would be fine if it didn't. It would give the president more authority to do whatever he needs to do and the Secretary of Defense as well. But let's have these fights.
Yeah. And wait, we got about 60 seconds left. I want to also get your take on this. Midterms coming up. A lot of Republicans, we're actually going to have Congressman Troy Nels on soon, but he's retiring. And we've seen MTG. She's bowing out. Yeah. How do you expect midterms to go for Republicans right now?
I don't know. This far out, the polls are never accurate. I would say that, I think conservatives, don't work for a partisan entity, but I think that conservatives should focus on affordability. I know the president's already doing a lot of work on this, but there's a recent article out about talking about the cost of participation in the economy and how much it would take for a family. And it's healthcare, it's food, it's cars, it's rent, it's mortgage, it's childcare. We need to find solutions to those and start bringing them forward to the American people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree with you on that front. Wade Miller, thank you for being here. It's an honor to be with you in person.
Yeah, likewise.
We've been social media friends for so long.
That's right.
You on other shows, so it's great to have you in studio today.
Amen.
In D.C.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much. Guys, before we go, I wanted to remind you all before we headed to break that right now over at the AlexJonesStore.com, it's buy one, get one free on all supplements. That's a big one. So head on over right now to the shop, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you stock up on all your favorite supplements. It's buy one, get one free. And that's a big one. So it's a great time to stock up, especially before the holidays, of course. Folks, we've got a jam-packed program for you today. Like I mentioned earlier, Congressman Troy Nels will be joining us in studio in just a few moments. And I've got a lot of questions to ask him. He just announced he's retiring. He's bowing out very soon. But he's actually going to send his brother in. It looks like if they vote him in, of course, to replace him. So is that an improvement? Well, I'm going to ask Nels. I'm sure he's a little biased, but we'll still ask him anyway. Plus, we'll also be joined by one of my favorite senators. I actually only have one, and it is Senator Tommy Tuberville. He'll be joining us in studio as well today, which we look forward to. Plus, a bunch of other incredible guests, including Nick Sorter, Savannah Hernandez, and others will be joining us today. So you're not going to want to go anywhere. We're just kicking off the war room right now. So stay put. In the meantime, though, head on over to alexjonesapp.com. Make sure you download the app so you guys can stay in touch with us in case they ever do shut this thing down. We're already working on the alternative. So head on over to alexjonesapp.com. More on the way.
The 12 days of Christmas sale is here at thealexjonesstore.com. For the next 12 days, we will be running a series of limited time sales. All supplements while supplies last are buy one, get one free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement free. This isn't buy one supplement, the same supplement, like Ultra Methylene Blue, get another one free. This is you can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. I mean, this is an insanely good deal. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Sunday, December 7th. Visit theallshowstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the InfoWar. Every purchase gets 50x entries to win our Jeep Rubicon 392. Oh, my God. I drove one of those. Just amazing. So smooth. This is not your granddaddy's Jeep. Every purchase gets 50x entries this week. Every time you buy something, you're putting 50 times in the sweepstakes to win our Jeep Rubicon 392, 10K cash on top of it, and brand new Ford Raptor, 10K cash for that. This only happens every few months in a crossover where we're about to end one sweepstakes and a new one's beginning. So there's this 1 week period every 2 months where when you enter to win, you can potentially win both vehicles. That obviously increases your chance of winning one. The bigger issue is it funds this operation. And we can't do it without you. And we have changed the world together. And InfoWars is more influential than ever thanks to you being in the InfoWar. Everything I sell is the very best supplement we can get, the very best highly rated. I take it all. It has changed my life taking the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Bovine Colostrum. These aren't sexy names, but boy, they have sexy effects. The Ultra Methylene Blue. And again, consult your physician before you take Methylene Blue. Ours is medical grade, the strongest out there. Talk to your physician first before you take it. This isn't a game. But Bovine Colostrum, should probably rerun that ad. It was just me at dinner for my dad's birthday in November, right after he had open heart surgery. Thank God it went well. And they had just gotten my Bovine Colostrum before we even rolled it out, a few months before. And my mother's like, our hair, our nails, our skin, this is insane. Well, Bovine Colostrum works really great. This is the best. We got the private label, the best that's out there. That's just an example of what is available at theallshowstore.com. So you can buy any supplement, buy one, get any other supplement you want free, and you've got just 5 days to do it until the 7th of December, 2025. And it's a total win-win. But you're going to get the Bovine Colostrum and have a great effect. You're going to get the Methylene Blue and have an incredible effect. You're going to get the Irish Sea Moss and have a great effect. Now, things like the Irish Sea Moss and Shilajit take a week or so to build up to feel the effects. Send them a Bovine Colostrum. Not the case with Methylene Blue. Not the case with our turmeric. That is the strongest. 95% curcuminoid. The average turmeric product's 4%. Still works great for inflammation and, you know, helps your overall immune system and health. So these are all game-changing, amazing products at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I want to thank you all for your support. Widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it. Do your Christmas shopping with us. Ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, limited edition sweaters. Don't fight the crowds. Get great deals and support the InfoWar. Just decide to do your Christmas shopping at TheAlexJonesStore.com and let's continue to change the world together.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with Shilajit, turmeric, Bovine Colostrum too, and he was always stocked high with the precious Methylene Blue. But up on Mount Microchip lived the Grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast, and he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took Methylene Blue, Red, Ultimate Life Force, and the Shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout, "The Globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop." To be continued.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm filling in for Harrison Smith today in Washington, D.C. We're live from the Rumble Studio in D.C. A lot happening here in swamp territory, as many of you guys know earlier today. I made my way to the Pentagon. I am officially credentialed as a full-time Pentagon reporter, which is very interesting because the mainstream media, they're not fans of that. So it was great to be here, and it was great to ask the press secretary and others some very important questions. Now, tomorrow I'll be doing a sit-down with a bunch of people, including Sean Parnell, and we'll air those interviews on Thursday morning on the American Journal, of course. So you're going to want to make sure you catch that because I'm asking all the important questions. And even the ones regarding the Afghan withdrawal, as many of you guys know, we're expecting Sean Parnell to release that sometime in the early portion of next year. And so I'm going to grill him a bit on that because we want to know what's going on there. But folks, there's other things going on here in D.C., specifically on Capitol Hill. Now, as many of you guys probably saw over the weekend, it was very, very upsetting for me. Congressman Troy Nehls from the great state of Texas announced that he is going to be going and retire. He's not going to run for re-election. And he joins me now in studio. Congressman, you can't leave us.
Thank you, Brenna. Thank you for having me. I mean, do your viewers know that? There's this Rumble coffee. I tell you, it's cold right now here in Washington, and I take this coffee. I recommend you get some Rumble coffee.
Yeah. We love to hear that.
Hey, listen, no, all joking aside, it was a tough decision. Yeah. It really was, but I have a beautiful wife. Her name is Jill, and she was in public education for 30 years, a principal for 15, and she retired about 6 months ago. And she had a right to do it. She's a little younger than I, but she had her time, 30 years. And we happen to have a 13-year-old. The other two girls are old. They're older. They're out of the house. But Tori, and it when the government shut down, the Chuck Schumer shut down, he did it. And in the end, he come up with nothing. He got nothing out of it. I don't know why in the hell he put the people through it. Yeah. He put America through a very difficult time. But that's Chuck for you. But when I was at home, you know, I'm in the district doing stuff, but being able to take my Tory, my 13-year-old school and this and that, I did a lot of thinking. I said, man, you know, this is just kind of nice being at home and being that dad in those critical years. She's a wonderful, wonderful young little lady. But then having my wife at home and stuff, I like, this is good. So we prayed about it. Thanksgiving came. I said, you know what? I have peace in this decision. I went over and told my twin brother, I go, Trevor, I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not running again. And then we talked about it, and he said, I should give that a shot. So that's it. So my twin brother's in this.
Okay, so we're excited we're getting your brother. That gives me some hope here.
Yeah.
But, you know, you've been a great asset when it comes to January 6th, reaching out to your team. You have some incredible people who work behind you. And whenever I was having an issue with a J6er in prison or in jail and we needed some answers, you guys have done an incredible job at fighting for them. And you're a very limited group. So just thank you for that. Because even when we were talking about the conditions at the local D.C. gulag, your team went right into there and told me, because I wasn't sure what was going on there, and gave us all the details in regards to what was actually happening. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really have a voice. Someone in politics was willing to go out there and fight for these Americans. So just thank you for that.
Yeah. You know, you think about that January 6th. I mean, I was supposed to be on the first select committee.
Mm-hmm.
The select committee was five of us, and Kevin McCarthy was the leader at the time. And then Nancy Pelosi, of course, rejected a couple. They didn't want and they didn't want Jim Banks. They didn't want Jim Jordan. And it was the first time in the history of Congress a speaker has rejected a minority leader, thus Kevin McCarthy at the time, picks to be on a select committee. So we all gathered together, and Kelly Armstrong was there, and me, and Rodney Davis. And we said, well, then we're not going to participate at all. I think, you know, looking at it, this and that, it had been nice to be at some of these hearings and talk, but it became then the sham committee. It wasn't a bipartisan. You can't put crying Adam and Liz. Bye, Liz. I'm glad you're out of here. You can't put people like that and say now that this is a bipartisan committee, because they were Pelosi Republicans is what they were. So now we have this new select committee. Speaker Johnson asked me to be on that new select committee. Barry Laudermill, great. He's going to run it, lead it for us. We're having a meeting tomorrow to try, you know, the government shutdown obviously is causing problems, but we're going to have a meeting tomorrow to talk about this. A lot of information out there, whether it's the pipe bombs. I know your viewers, listeners are hearing about all these things, but we're going to get to the bottom of it. We got to get to the facts. And that sham committee under Benny Thompson with he being the puppet and the puppet master Nancy Pelosi, we got to expose all that, because the American people have never heard the truth about January 6th. I wrote a book on it, The Big Fraud. I wrote a book on this thing. But the American people, for the most part, they think that this was a – well, many people. I shouldn't say most. Many people think it was an insurrection. It wasn't an insurrection. It wasn't even close to an insurrection.
Yeah, I don't think people understand what the term insurrection means anyway. Yeah. I feel like they all on the left just use that loosely these days. Yeah. And they don't understand where it even comes from, what it even means. But, you know, you're mentioning J6 and the pipe bomber. You know, we recently saw the blaze. They put out who they suspected was potentially the pipe bomber. Now, we're not going to say her name or show her image, because I've heard from multiple sources that they believe it's inaccurate. As someone who's on the J6 committee, where do you stand on that?
I don't believe it's her either. I just don't believe it. But we're going to have conversations. We just want to make sure that if we're going to pick somebody out, we got to be 100% accurate on that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would be fair to all of a sudden accuse somebody of saying, I think that's you because of the way, the walk, the limp, the whatever. I think you've got to be careful there. Really, really do. So, but I have a lot of faith and confidence that this select committee now that we have, we've got a lot of work to do. But I think there is so much to uncover, because we have so much out there with all of the different hearings that were taking place with Benny Thompson. The first officers, all of them up there. And I think it Harry Dunn. Remember Harry Dunn?
Yes.
You know that guy? Yeah, well, he wants to do stuff. I don't know if he's CNN, wrote books, all that other stuff.
Yeah.
When Harry Dunn testified the first time, he says he didn't think January 6th was going to be like any other day. If you look at most of the Capitol police officers that day, they were in their regular order, you know, their regular police uniform. They didn't have any special gear on. They weren't, they didn't have all of the shields and the vests and all that. And they didn't have any, cause they thought it was just going to be a regular day. And Harry, how the hell? So the leadership of the Capitol police never told the officers, the men and women, that this was going to get stupid up here. It was going to get a little ugly. It was quite clear. The intel showed it, but the leadership, Yogananda Pittman, who's no longer here, that's Nancy's girl out there in California, they kept it hidden because it appears they wanted it to happen. They wanted, their people knew about this. It was going to get stupid. They could have stopped it, but it's almost like they wanted it to happen.
Okay, so what's the committee working on right now? What can we expect so far? Because obviously you guys have a lot of work cut out for you. We've heard the reports that the previous committee obviously hit the delete button, the mass delete button on a lot of important things. So you got a lot of holes to dig through.
Yeah, I think it's really, really interesting because we've always felt that there were some federal agencies involved in all this. Mm-hmm. You could sit here and talk about Ray Epps until your head hurts and this and that. Was the FBI informant? Was he involved? This and that. I think Ray Epps is an interesting fella when you look at all this, but the idea that, you know, a couple hundred FBI agents were embedded into this, into the crowd. You know, you've seen video where a guy's walking out and he appears to show some type of a badge. Was it an FBI agent? Was it not? And all this other stuff. So I think it's very, very important that we find out just how involved were some of our federal law enforcement agencies in this? And were they trying to prevent this or were they facilitating it?
Yeah.
So I think those are the directions, some of the direction that we're going to go. Obviously, the pipe bombs, very, very important. People want to know about that. I'm like, my God, we have cameras all over this damn place. And you're telling me you don't know who planted those bombs and or those pipe bombs and whether it was, well, we knew Kamala was going to be there in the morning or in the afternoon, then it changed it to the morning. I mean, all the timelines, we got to get to the bottom of it and we will. But one thing I do know about people and the American people, they want answers and they want it. And they're like, well, Nels, this is how many years old now? This is almost 4 years and you guys are still don't know about the pipe bombs. But you got to understand, we just started taking over. It's been 10 months. So you got to give us a little bit of time to dig to it and uncover the truth because the American people have heard very little truth.
Yeah. And we're going to, you know, obviously continue to cover it and continue to wait for that truth to be revealed.
Yeah.
Pipe bombers, obviously a great example of that with the American people. They want their answers and they're demanding it from our federal agencies as well who've been looking into this. So we'll continue to follow it. But I want to shift gears a little bit to immigration because you recently have put up the My Remove Act, which would require illegal aliens to be placed in removal proceedings as soon as possible, which is a very, very important measure that we should be taking up right now. I want to play clip 4 for our audience right now where it's you just detailing all of the core details behind this bill. Take a listen.
My Democrat colleagues, let me make this very clear. An alien living illegally in this country for years doesn't mean that alien gets to stay here forever. It just means they should have been deported sooner. Should have been deported sooner. That's what this bill does. The Remove Act states that if you're here illegally, you must be placed in removal proceedings as expeditiously as possible. If you commit a crime that makes you more deportable, you must be placed in removal proceedings as expeditiously as possible. And once those proceedings begin, they must be completed within 15 days. 15. No more hanging out in the United States, committing crimes and taking advantage of public benefits for years while your fake asylum case is pending. No more gaming the system. You're an illegal alien. Your case is heard quickly, and if you don't have a basis to remain in the United States, you're deported, plain and simple. And that's what this bill does, and it's only common sense. My Democrat colleague.
I really like this one, Congressman, because the big issue here is Democrats flooded our country with millions of illegal aliens over the last 4 years. And the intentions were if they flood all these people into our country through the court system, we won't be able to get them out quick enough. And possibly the next administration could take over and they could continue to allow more to funnel in. This would expedite that process. Mm-hmm. What else can we be doing on this front? Because this is a great one. What's the status on this bill?
Well, I think this is a great bill. We got it through the Judiciary Committee. Now we'll go to the House. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping we could get it through the House, but I don't know how well we're going to do in the Senate. Let's be honest. I mean, this is great legislation. It says get them out of here in 15 days. We got to get them out. First off, We're getting many are self-deporting. I mean, ICE is doing their job. They're getting people. Many of them are self-deporting. But those that choose to say, no, I want to go to immigration court, we don't have enough beds. You have a lot of people. This administration, the previous administration brought in about 20 million, whatever the number. Let's just say it's 15 million. Mm. 15, 20 million people. That's a lot of people. Logistically, you know how difficult that is to get all those people out of here? And you can't blame the people for coming. You say, well, they're here. Well, because they were invited. Joe Biden invited them to people here. And we're giving more benefits. I said the other day, we had a bill for the Medal of Honor recipients. They were getting $1,400 a month. We give more to illegals. So that's another thing that we should talk about, the Medal of Honor Act. But the point is that we have millions, tens of millions of people here that have been in here milking this system for years. And it just seems like once we adjudicate and said, you got to go, we say, okay, you got 15 days to get out. Get on a plane and you're gone. We're not going to let you hang out at the coffee shop or sit here and collect more SNAP benefits. You're out of here. And I think that's the right thing to do. The American people they demand it. And they demand it because they elected a president that said, this is what we're going to do. And he's doing exactly what he said he's going
to
do.
Yeah, he is. He is. And we're going to get to the Medal of Honor Act in just a bit, because I know that's one you've been fighting for a very, very long time. I want to talk a bit, though, and kind of talk about what President Trump said earlier today. He obviously is not a fan of the people that we've imported into our country who do not love this country. He specifically was calling out Somalians.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ilhan Omar, the congresswoman.
Yeah, she's nuts.
She's nuts. And you would think someone from her position would be thankful that we allowed her into our country. We gave her an opportunity, great opportunity. I mean, she's now married to a multimillionaire. We'll leave her love life out of this, but she's gotten a great opportunity here in this country. And, just kind of your take of the president saying, we're done with importing people that hate us. We're going to fix this immigration system and no longer do that.
You remember Trump made it very clear. Oh, and boy, did they beat the hell out of him. The media beat him up when he said they're not going to send us their best and their brightest. Yeah. They're going to send us the murderers, the rapists, this and that. Mm-hmm. You've got Trendyagua. You have, when I was a sheriff for Fort Bend County, I was a big Fort Bend County, almost got a million people in it. We had these gangs coming in from Venezuela and every other place, and they were very sophisticated burglars, residential burglaries. I mean, they were sophisticated, committing 100, 200 burglaries over an extended period of time. So if you think these individuals are coming over here and saying, well, you know what I do? I'm going to come on over here and work there and try to do the right thing, make some money, maybe send some money back home, this and that. That's not what they're doing. They're coming over here to prey on the American people. And whether you look at Lake and Riley, look at others, these guys are coming over and they're killing our people. And I support President Trump. We got the bad hombres. We got to get the bad hombres the hell out of our country. Because it's the president's responsibility. It's really Congress's responsibility as well as to protect the American people. But the American people have realized in these large liberal cities, New York, Chicago, everywhere else, that they can't count on their local governments to keep them safe. Hell, I don't know if I'd get on a train in New York anywhere, or at least don't want to stand next to the railing there, that somebody will push you in front of a train, or next thing you know, you need to bring a damn fire extinguisher because somebody may light you on fire in Chicago. It's sad. It is truly sad and sickening that these liberal mayors and these liberal governors have allowed these tragedies to continue. Mm-hmm. I mean, the American people are paying the price for Joe Biden's lawlessness at the southern border. And I think we need to continue to investigate all that, too, because I think it's criminal what the previous administration did to America by just inviting people from every other country in the world.
Yeah, and when we talk about investigations, there's a lot of investigations going on right now, but we're seeing very little arrests. And I think Americans are getting a little frustrated. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I think slow and steady wins the race, being deliberate. Listen, these knuckleheads have been around. I mean, there's a lot of pardons. We got to look at that, too, with that auto pen. I mean, we just got to look at that. But I think being slow and steady, again, people want instant gratification. Mm-hmm. I get it. But I got to give, let Pam Bondi and Cash Patel and Dan in there, let them conduct the very thorough investigation so we got rock solid cases against these people. I get it. The passion, people want this done. There's a lot of emotion involved in this, but I also think slow and steady wins the race. And while we have Donald Trump in the White House, I think he's demanding that. He wants justice, and he wants those that have committed crimes and weaponized the DOJ and everybody else against the boss. I think those people need to be held accountable. I mean, we could sit and talk about Fauci and everybody else, but you look at Comey and some of these guys, shame on them for what they did with weaponizing the federal agencies to go after the greatest president of my lifetime and the American people, whether it's the Catholics, everything else. I mean, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Joe Biden got a heat worse than Jimmy Carter.
Really, really bad. Yeah. And, you know, it's just crazy to sit back and reflect on what happened when he was occupying the White House, because so much happened and the American people knew more corrupt was happening behind the scenes. And unfortunately, people weren't asking the key questions. And we're learning more, though, in regards to Jack Smith and what he was doing behind the scenes. You know, when your chairman, Jim Jordan, got wrapped up into that, too, the Arctic Frost case.
The whole thing. I don't, you know, there's other people now. I told the Senate, I don't know what the hell you guys are doing, but you can't sneak that in there in our to open up that $500,000. I don't agree with that. I mean, go ahead, sue this and that, but don't try to throw that garbage in there, build and try to strong arm us. So I thought that was a poor decision, whether it's Lindsay or somebody. I didn't agree with that because people called me up and they said, Nels, what the hell are you guys doing? What do you mean? They said, they're putting that in their bill. They're going to get rich now off of this. I said, no, just relax. It's going to be okay. But the fact of the matter is that Arctic Frost, Jack Smith is a crook and he needs to be indicted. He needs to be investigated. He'll probably go to prison because he didn't play by the rules. I think he had such hatred, towards Donald Trump and many of them. Look at Letitia and all those others. They just hate Donald Trump. And there's that hatred still continues today. Chuck Schumer hates Donald Trump.
Mm. Yeah.
He despises the man, and there's still many, many others. Look at some of the nut jobs we have in our own house with Jasmine Crockett. I mean, I got to deal with that woman on judiciary. All she does is talk.
And she comes from Texas.
She loves to hear her own voice.
I know.
My God, that woman has it. She doesn't lack self-confidence. But Jasmine, if you're listening, there's some of you, you need to run for Senate in Texas. You need to, because then we won't have to deal with you at all. We won't have to deal with you anymore. She'll get clobbered. She couldn't win a Senate race in Texas.
Yes.
People don't like her, but Ken Paxton's going to be the next senator in Texas anyway. So, anyway.
Yeah, I laughed. I saw her on CNN. I think it was Jake Tapper. And she said that the polling numbers, she's past her deadline. She said she'd announce by Thanksgiving.
Well, she's got till the 8th. December 8th is our filing deadline in Texas if she wants to do it. You got till December 8th. So I was thinking maybe I should send her a couple $100 to get her to run for Senate because she would have no chance in hell. But her even talking about it, it's just kind of like this woman is delusional.
Yeah.
She's delusional.
Yeah.
To think she could be the senator in Texas. My goodness gracious. She's not happening.
Well, she said the polling numbers that her team are receiving, that she could take on Ken Paxton. I mean, Ken Paxton is the best attorney general in the entire country.
He's going to be the best. He's going to beat John. John, you did a good job 24 years. I salute you for your service. But if you can't get it done in 24, your agenda, you ain't getting it done in 28. So it's just time to move on. And I'm a big supporter of Ken Paxton. He's going to win that race.
Yeah, and we look forward to that. I know Texans are looking forward to some change over there. I wanted to also bring up, because I know you've been working on this for a very long time now, the Medal of Honor Act. Now, this is very important because recipients for the first time in nearly 25 years are going to get an increase in their pension. Detail what this was, because it was signed yesterday, I believe.
Yeah, it was. I was with the president last night. We signed it in the Oval Office. It was absolutely fantastic. A guy named Leroy Sisco, he's a guy, Texan, lives in Bernie. He calls me up one day and he says, Troy, he said, do you know this about these Medal of Honor recipients? I said, tell me, Leroy, what do I need to know? He said that we give these guys $1,400 a month, $1,400. And that's what I brought up about. We give our legals more than $1,400 to come over. And there are only 61 Medal of Honor recipients alive today. I said, this is ridiculous. I said, I tell you what, Leroy. So what should we do? We need to give them a bump in their pension. So we come up with some numbers, and in the end, we agreed. We come up with, I think we're going to take it up to about $6,500 a month from $1,500 a month, 14 and change, up to $6,500. And Ted Cruz was a sponsor on the Senate side. We got it done. I got it done through the House. Even Omar voted for it. It's 424-0. 424-0. I filed this bill. I first introduced it in my first term. I don't know why in the hell it took 5 years to get it done. And those that were holding it back, I'm thinking, how do you guys feel now? I mean, it passed the House by 424-0. It passed by the House on unanimous consent. Why did it take me 5 years to do this? We should have done this 4 years ago. But finally, hey, listen, in the end, it all okay. We got it done. President signed the bill. I'm really, really excited. The Medal of Honor. Do you know, and this will sicken you too, do you know that we've had Medal of Honor recipients file for bankruptcy?
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
You know how difficult to be a recipient of Medal of Honor? I get around these guys and the hair stand up on my arms.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the most incredible, God-fearing, loving our country. And now we're finally giving them what they deserve. And I don't still think it's enough, but it hasn't been raised in 23 years. 23 years.
Yeah.
And finally we did something. I'm very proud of that bill. And if that's, it's a hell of an accomplishment knowing how slow things work around here. Very, very slow.
Well, and it's a great way to kind of announce your retirement and go out on, because I know this was a top priority for you to make sure that we were helping our veterans.
I'm not done yet.
I know, you got a
couple
months.
I'm not doing what Marjorie did. I'm staying. I'm not doing that. So I'm going to fulfill my term, and we've got a lot of work to do in transportation, pilot age, other stuff. But I tell you, the most important thing that we have to do, and in Congress, you got to understand this, if we lose the House, it's over.
Yeah.
If we lose the House, the boss will have to do everything through executive order. And we're going to see Al Green waving his cane, because he's going to run another district, by the way. So he's going to wave his cane, and we're going to have impeachment, investigation, impeach. And the president, the greatest president, they have to do everything through executive order. It's just going to bog things down. I think things come to a dead halt. I think it's going to stop. And that scares the hell out of me. The boss needs 4 solid years. He needs 4 years to fix our country. We can't give him 2.
Yeah.
We can't give him 2. We got to give him 4. And I hope the American people are smart enough to realize the conservatives, the Republican Party understands. You may not like everything Donald Trump does. I think he does everything right. I think he's right all the time. But you don't have to agree with me on that. But I bet you agree on 80% of everything. And we got to give our leader, the leader of our party, the opportunity to lead. And he's doing that, blowing them up out of the boats, I think is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Venezuela. He's trying to keep the American people safe. He stops the wars. He's solving Ukraine. I mean, the guy is... He's an incredible, incredible leader.
Yeah, no, he truly, truly is. And, you know, before you go, because you have about a minute left, I wanted to get your take. We sit back and we watch President Trump sign a bunch of great executive orders, but then it falls flat. So we're not really laminating his legacy by passing things through the House and the Senate. Everything kind of falls flat. Where do you stand? Like,
well, we codified some of them. We got some of the executive orders done. But I know, again, and this is where people are saying, you know, why haven't people been put in jail? Why haven't we put people in jail yet? And people don't want to hear it. It just takes time. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's because we have a weak administration. There's just a lot of stuff going on. These Epstein files, all of that stuff. I mean, it's just, there's more distractions.
Mm-hmm.
I just said to myself, the Epstein files are a hoax because they want to try to tie Trump to it, mm-hmm. right? But as soon as the Epstein file went away, we release it, right? He signs it, we go away. What do the Democrats go into? Now they're going into and try to say, violate the orders, don't obey illegal orders like Trump is giving illegal orders. The Democrats will stop at nothing. My take is, you want to solve this, get rid of the damn filibuster. Blow a damn thing. Filibuster, the word is not used in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
They got too many rules over there.
Yes.
Too many rules.
They do have too many rules. Congressman, thank you for being here. It's an honor to have you on.
Yeah.
We're excited for you to enjoy your retirement life as well. I guess we got about 20 seconds. Tell us a little bit about your brother before you go.
My twin brother. I'm looking at him. He's a very good looking guy. He's a good looking guy. He's smart. Probably half an inch taller, but he's a very smart guy, lawman, military guy, and he's a mega guy. He's America first. And so you're not going to see much difference. I said to him, I said, he voted for me 3 times last year. Shh, don't put that up. No, but he's been up here a lot. I think he loves this country. He has served it for 35 years. And when I talked to the president, told him I wasn't seeking reelection, I said, talking to my brother Trevor about this, and he likes my brother Trevor because we spent a lot of time in Wisconsin. And I feel good about where we're at.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here, Congressman. We appreciate it.
Thank you. God bless.
More next.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get – you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those, like, high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
U.S. Senator Mark Kelly just keeps stepping in it.
My concern is with the service members, that we're gonna put these individuals in a really, really tough decision, in a tough place. And you know, they may find out, you know, down the road that they did something that is illegal. It is not fair to them. That's why we need presidents and Secretary of Defense who understand the Constitution, who understand the rule of law, and have more respect for the Constitution and the country and service members than the whims of a president.
They're following unlawful commands from Donald Trump. And if you're committing offenses and your defense is going to be, I was just following orders. You know, that didn't work out so well at Nuremberg. It certainly didn't work out so well for Lieutenant Calley when he, you know, engaged in mass murder, the My Lai massacre. Someday, when the rule of law comes back into the light of day, will have to be tackled. They'll have to be held accountable for those abuses.
When you and your colleagues made that video, were there specific potentially illegal orders that you were thinking about that were the sort of precipitating cause for you guys to get together and do that?
You don't want to wait for your kid to get hit by a car before you tell him to look both ways.
The Pentagon confirmed to multiple outlets that the video is under review by the Office of the General Counsel to determine whether it constitutes improper interference with military discipline.
You can't have a functioning military if there's disorder and chaos within the ranks, and that's what these Democrat members were encouraging. It's very clear.
Regardless, Kelly keeps sticking his foot in his mouth.
You mentioned that you are a captain in the Navy. If you received that order, would you have carried it out?
No.
Kelly's pre-Senate business history has resurfaced amid heightened scrutiny of Chinese influence in U.S. technology. From 2013 to 2020, Kelly co-founded and served as a board member of Worldview Enterprises, a Tucson-based company that develops high-altitude stratospheric balloons originally marketed for commercial and research purposes. In 2013 and again in 2016, Worldview accepted investments from Tencent Holdings, the Chinese tech giant closely tied to the Chinese Communist Party and subject to national security laws requiring data cooperation with Beijing. Tencent's WeChat platform has been cited by U.S. officials as a tool for censorship and surveillance.
The facts are China has put a lot of money into high-altitude balloons or what you call satellite arrays, surveillance arrays, but more importantly, communication systems. But they've also put a lot of money in to deliver a electromagnetic pulse weapon that's detonated and powered by an atomic or hydrogen bomb going off. It's estimated that a 40 megaton bomb, that's a medium-sized bomb, would knock out large portions of the United States. It was detonated around 80,000 feet in the right conditions. But there's more radiation that goes further at night because of radiation that's already in the atmosphere from the sun. And so they would try to detonate these at night. They would have a much bigger effect. You've seen what solar flares do, wreaking havoc with satellites. That's nothing compared to this. And the fact that Biden didn't order this shot down day one, the fact that the communist Chinese confirmed it was theirs, just shows you what the Border Patrol said. They're not watching the border. They're not watching anything except us.
$100,000 a month as a retainer for Hunter Biden to work for a Chinese entity with ties to the Chinese Communist Party. $500,000 right off the top as a one-time payment to Hunter. And $65,000 a month for James Biden, the president's brother. We're talking about the question of what could Hunter Biden possibly bring to the table?
The fact that this has been going on is important. Yes, the globalists set up China, but by the time Xi Jinping came along, and now he's arrested his predecessor that was working with the globalists, Xi Jinping has told big tech of the New World Order, I'm in charge, and I'm not going to deal with you anymore.
Kelly divested his ownership stake and resigned from the board in early 2020 upon entering the Senate race, placing his holdings in a blind trust. Which begs the question, are we blindly trusting CCP sedition blowhard Senator Kelly? John Baum reporting for InfoWars.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Welcome back to the War Room, folks. We got a lot going on over here. I'm Brianna Morello, filling in for Harrison Smith on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday evening. We're excited that you're all jumping on with us, of course, so thank you for being here. All right, as many of you guys know, I'm not in our normal studio. I'm here in the swamp, and we've been triggering those in the corporate media, which is good news. If you guys saw earlier today, I was at the Pentagon, and we really got them upset that the independent world is now taking over for the corporate media world, and, it's been endless attacks for the last few weeks on that front, but listen, we're exposing a lot, and we were asking all the tough questions, say, at the Pentagon, and we're going to get more into that in just a bit. But right now, I want to play this clip for you because we've talked about it. As many of you guys know, there was that horrific terror attack that took place last week in Washington, D.C. An Afghan refugee, is what they like to call him, decided to drive across the country and shoot two National Guardsmen. Unfortunately, one has passed away, and the other one is still fighting for his life, but things are looking good for him. But when it comes to the question of how did this person get here in the first place, there's only one way to point your finger, and that's at the Biden regime. The Biden regime funneled thousands of Afghan refugees into this country. We had no idea where they were coming from, who they were. And right now, we're trying to get to how did this happen. I want to play this clip for you, clip five. This is the Secretary of DHS, Kristi Noem, coming out and saying that this individual was poorly vetted. Take a listen.
Well, we know that when Joe Biden left the White House, he left us with a 1.5 million case backlog in asylum claims. And individuals are required under law and under policy to check in every single year when they have asylum in this country, and that wasn't being done. These individuals that were brought in and then vetted on information that was gathered by the Biden administration that wasn't thorough. And so now we're completely changing that since President Trump has been in the White House and since I've been at DHS. We're using biometric information. We're using those social media platforms and looking at what they're saying and doing and making sure that we have a government when a country is sending us someone, we have a government that is stable in that country that can actually share information with us. How do we vet someone that comes from Afghanistan or Somalia or Yemen if they don't have a government that we can communicate with that will share information with us? So that is one of the prerogatives and one of the priorities that we're putting on these countries if they want to continue to send us people that want to claim asylum.
The vetting process is a major, major issue, but folks, you can't vet these people. I mean, you just heard the secretary lay it out for you. The reality is these people come from countries that, number one, aren't going to be honest with us, right? They're not going to tell you, especially if you're turning to the Taliban and asking, hey, is this a terrorist that's trying to come into our country? I mean, they're not going to tell you that. And so it really calls into question is how can our vetting process actually be functioning and actually work for the American people?
And the reality is I don't think it actually will ever will. Joining me to discuss is Senator Tommy Tuberville. He joins us today in the Rumble studio. It is an honor to have you on, sir, so thank you for being here.
Glad to be here.
Glad to be here. We are here in Swamp Territory. We're very excited about that. We've been asking a lot of tough questions all week. And so this one is one I want to get your take on because you're obviously very outspoken on the Islam issue, and you cause a lot of headlines where you piss off the corporate media, and we're very excited about that because for so long, these types of things have not been challenged when it comes to allowing these migrants. They always call them the asylum seekers, but the reality is they come here and they want to cause harm. So how do we vet these people and bring them into our country?
Well, first of all, we didn't vet them, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We brought in, tens of thousands. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a little story. When all this happened in Afghanistan, I had to go over to India. And I said, I'm going to go back through Brussels and meet with the NATO commander and see how it's going. That's where we sent all of the Afghanistanians that we brought out of Afghanistan, and we housed them where we tented them. They put them in tents in these little villages and stuff. Now, they run in different tribes, okay? And the NATO commander told me, he says, Coach, we're having huge problems. So what's going on? He said, we're having rapes, mm-hmm. boys, little girls, women. We're having fights. We can't control them. And I've gone to all the leaders of the tribes and said, listen, either you handle it or we're going to handle it. And they got them and somewhat corralled them up, but they weren't asylum seekers. Mm-hmm. We brought out anybody that would get on the plane is what happened. Joe Biden said, let's get as many people out as we possibly can. I said, have we vetted these people? Coach, we don't vet these people because we don't know who they are. There's no identification. They have no sense of reality when it comes to being, a part of anything. And so we're just biometric them. We're putting them on planes. We're shipping them to the United States of America. So that's how we got all these people. And we knew it was going to cause problems. But that's what the Biden administration wants. They have done so much damage to this country. President Trump is probably the best pro-growth president we've ever had, but he can't do anything because of all the problems they created trying to get his head above water to get this country back going in the right direction. But it is an absolute disaster when it comes to the Muslims coming in this country.
Yeah, and people don't want to talk about it. They want to play it safe. And it's the reality is these people don't belong in the West. They hate us. They despise us. And you brought up a great point, the sexual assault angle to all of this. People shy away from the topic, too, because they just don't want to talk about it. But I've sat here for years following what happened when we brought them onto U.S. military bases. And I actually asked the Pentagon about it today. Specifically, we saw that there were a couple of stories coming out about children and women being raped at these military bases. And then all of a sudden, they stopped reporting it. They didn't tell the public about any of this. And we don't even know if those people who were accused of rape, whether they were deported, whether they were arrested, we don't know if they're sitting in prisons, right? I mean, we have no idea where these people are. I asked the Pentagon if they were going to give us some statistics on all of this. We could find out how many crimes were committed while they were on our military bases. And we didn't really get a direct answer in all of this. It's really concerning, but you bring up a great point. And you also posted this on X, too, about ban all Islam immigrants and deport every single Islamist. Now, you've been very aggressive on this issue. Why is this a top priority for you?
Well, first of all, I love America.
Yeah.
And you and I have had the opportunity to be in a country that is the greatest ever. Mm-hmm. But we're losing it. Mm-hmm. And we're losing it at a fast pace simply for the fact of immigration. We can't allow to continue this to happen. Now, we want people to come here for the right reasons. We don't want you to come if you're not having problems in your own country. If you live in a country that is functional, you don't deserve to come to the United States of America. We'll only take you if you're in trouble. But that wasn't Biden administration's forte. They said, hey, we're just going to take anybody. They opened up the borders. They loaded up planes. The people they brought from Afghanistan weren't translators or friends of the American soldiers. They were just anybody that would get on the plane. And so Islam is it's a tough situation. Mm-hmm. We want anybody to come here that can make our country better. That's the way I look at it. If you can come here and go by our laws and go by our constitution and make our country better and want to assimilate, I'm all for you. They don't want to do that. They want to change this country to something else. Now, Sharia law and Islam is not a religion. Mm-hmm. It's a cult, okay? And their cult believes in totally different things we believe in. They don't believe in, Americans, kill the infidel, do away with everything that we believe in, that hate Christians. Mm-hmm. You know, we're having tens of thousands of people killed in Nigeria by Muslims because they're Christians.
Yeah.
So it's going to happen here. Mm-hmm. Why do we even take that chance? So I'm saying they don't belong here. Let's pack them up and send them home. And I think a lot of people are starting to understand after this hitting the last week here, two or three blocks from where we're at right now, mm-hmm. It's a huge problem. And it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. And again, we've got to start speaking up about it, because if you don't talk about your problems, you can't solve the problem. And so let's start talking about it.
Yeah, and it's really important that we do just that. I mean, the fact that we have to wait, sadly, until one National Guardswoman lost her life, I mean, that's just devastating. But it's starting to create an open dialogue here that I think is very important. And we're also starting to reveal Somalian fraud. That's a big topic these days. I want to play clip 19 for you, because President Trump earlier today was calling out Somalia, and he had quite the interesting way of describing the Somalians that have come into this country. Take a listen.
And they contribute nothing. The welfare is like 88%. They contribute nothing. I don't want them in our country, I'll be honest with you, okay? Somebody would say, oh, that's not politically correct. I don't care. I don't want them in our country. Their country is no good for a reason. Their country stinks. And we don't want them in our country. I could say that about other countries, too. We don't want them to hell. We have to rebuild our country. You know, our country's at a tipping point. We could go bad. We're at a tipping point. I don't know if people mind me saying that, but I'm saying it. We could go one way or the other, and we're going to go the wrong way if we keep taking in garbage into our country. Ilhan Omar is garbage. She's garbage. Her friends are garbage. These aren't people that work. These aren't people that say, let's go, come on, let's make this place great. These are people that do nothing but complain. They complain. And from where they came from, they got nothing. You know, they came from paradise, and they said, this isn't paradise. But when they come from hell, and they complain and do nothing but bitch, we don't want them in our country. Let them go back to where they came from and fix it. Thank you very much, everybody.
Okay, President Trump really not holding back there, and very descriptive on how he feels about all of this. But, you know, you come from the great state of Alabama, and you guys are starting to see a little bit of issues here. You know, I was going through your X page, and I'm obviously now in Texas. I can't call myself a Texan yet, but we've seen over the last 2 years in my little area alone, 48 mosques get popping up, and all of these Islamic compounds is what they're trying to pop up and open up, and they're doing their best to lie and deceive the American people. Epic is one great example of that. But you're calling it out, and you're trying to do your very best to make sure that this doesn't happen to Alabama right now, specifically saying the only place this Islamic academy should be moving is out of Alabama. How important is it for you to make sure that Alabama, especially when you're campaigning right now, but how important is it for you to make sure that Alabama is secure and it's not going to be taking in Islam or Islamists, I should say?
Well, Brianna, first of all, that's my president. That's who I voted for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
America first.
Yeah.
Get these people out that don't belong here. Mm-hmm. Protect the people of this country first. And that's what he's doing. He's had enough of it. Mm-hmm. You know, after this nonsense that we had with these two young people killed, one killed and the other one in bad shape, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace to this country that we can't even protect our own military people. And so that's the guy I voted for. That's a good friend of mine. And we go to the point of what you're saying. We have 50 states in this country. Muslim communities are moving everywhere. Yeah. In every state, they're building mosques. They're having these five prayers a day. They're pushing this cult on everybody across the country. Now, the people that are vulnerable are obviously young people that are in these woke universities that are falling in line with them. And it's going to catch up with us if we don't start talking about it. If we don't talk about it, again, people are not going, they're not going to wake up and look and go, what is this? Or is this really true? Is this really happening? You brought up Dallas.
Yeah.
Dallas has a huge infiltration of Muslims north of the city, and they're buying land, putting in mosques, they're building schools in Birmingham, Alabama, in Hoover. We just had the city council say, no, you're not. There's a small school that's a Muslim school in that area. They want larger area where they can build a bigger school, infiltrate more and bring in more young people to teach them the Muslim faith. And again, I'm a senator right now and I'm going to fight it. In the future, in a year, I'll be the governor, and I'll be damned if we're going to do that in the state of Alabama. We're going to protect the people of Alabama. We're going to protect our Constitution. We're going to protect our state. We're going to protect our country.
And that's what we want to hear. That's what we want to hear. How do you plan on carrying that out? Because it's going to be very, very hard to try to make sure that they can't purchase land and build these little Muslim compounds all over Alabama.
Well, we've got to prove that what they're doing is going against our Constitution. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't preach hate. You can't preach death. Yeah. Kill all infidels. Kill all Christians. You can't do that. And we'll find some way, somehow, that we can make sure that this did not grow. And again, we go back to what we said earlier. If you're here for a reason, and that reason is to bring down our country through some kind of cult, I mean, it's got to go. And we've got to find ways to do it. And again, as United States Senator, we can talk about it. But when you're in charge of a state, you can do a lot more about it. And you can push regulations. You can push building codes. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not going to put up with it as a governor of the state of Alabama. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what people want to hear. I mean, the reality of it is now in Texas, I was there when we had the public hearing and I was on EPIC, the East Plano Islamic Center. They've now actually rebranded their name. They're just calling themselves the Meadow now, according to the judge. So they're doing this rebranding to make it seem like it's not a threat. But, you know, I was very proud because I sat there in the courtroom while conservative Christians flooded the entire courtroom. And then there were so many in the room that we couldn't actually sit everyone. So they actually had to have an overflow room for all of us. And so many people, I was so proud of them coming out, speaking out, saying they don't want this in their community and holding people accountable. The judge, Chris Hill, in Collin County actually siding with, Texans and saying, okay, like we're not going to let you guys build up on the land right now. So they're trying to do this whole pivot now. But it's super important for Americans to understand that you have to fight now. You have to stop this now while you still can, because right now Texas, once they purchase the land, it's their land. So it's getting into this fight now and pushing for this now is critical. And, you know, we're seeing it and we'll kind of just pivot a little bit. Minnesota, I want to play clip six for you because we talk about these migrants who have flooded into our country. Somalia, obviously, Somalians have flooded in. And there's been a large amount of fraud earlier today. Chrissy Noem even calling it out, the DHS
millions
secretary.
Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars. She said 50% of the Somalians over there actually committed fraud to get into our country. 50%. Now, she says DHS is going to go out there and start making these arrests to get rid of these people. Because obviously they can't do that. But that's just immigration fraud. Then there's also the financial in all of this. Millions of dollars. They've, and according to reports, they flooded this over to terrorist organizations back in their homelands. But I want to listen to clip six because this is one Somalian and she's doing a local news interview and she says, yeah, there's some of that commit fraud, but it's not all of us. Take a listen to clip six.
I'm not comfortable sometime. Because when I drive, when I'm sitting somewhere, not comfortable like before.
She says the president's recent focus on the Somali community is unnerving.
What he said, we've affected all communities. We know some people, they make fraud, but not all.
Okay, so some people make fraud, but not all. That's her fight to keep Somalians in this country right now. President Trump, I don't think he's buying that, do you?
Well, thank you, Barack Obama. He's the one who brought him in here, dumped him in one place. That was all by plan to try to take over some congressional seats. And then, of course, a lot of them came here illegally. Mm-hmm. We have one here in the United States Congress that came here illegally, married her brother to become a citizen, which is ridiculous. And if we allow that to happen, we're not going to make it. And you heard President Trump say a few minutes ago, we're at the tipping point of this country. I mean, folks, I mean, you might have a great family. You might have a little money in the bank. You have good kids and going to school. But all that's going to come to a halt if we don't wake up and smell the roses here and really tell what's going on. We're being overtaken by Muslims in this country. And it's, again, they come from different areas, different countries. I think there's somewhere in the 50s Muslim countries. And they're coming from all of them. They're coming here. They have a plan. They have a much better plan than what we have. They've overtaken Europe.
Yeah.
They've overtaken it. And, you know, they flooded the zone, so to speak. And now what's happening? We're having to pay for all the welfare, the SNAP, everything, all these subsidies. And American people out there that pay all these taxes, they're not getting the infrastructure in this country that they deserve. They're not getting the money back coming back to their states for education or health care. All the money's going to people that shouldn't be here, and it's time to stop it.
Yeah, it is time to stop it, and I think President Trump is going to make that a top priority. I mean, he seems fired up on the issue. There's another issue he's fired up on, too. Tim Walz calling him out for allowing all this corruption, of course, the governor in Minnesota. It's very interesting because the media wasn't very happy when President Trump decided to call Tim Walz out for being low IQ. And in clip 7, they tried to get him to back out of the statements that he made previously, but President Trump's not backing down. Take a listen.
In that same post, you mentioned Tim Walz, and you called him what many Americans do find an offensive word, retarded. Do you stand by that claim of calling Tim Walz retarded?
Yeah, I think there's something wrong with him, absolutely, sure.
But you don't think
you have a problem with him? You know what? I think there's something wrong with him. Anybody that would do what he did, anybody that would allow those people into a state and pay billions of dollars out to Somalia, we give billions of dollars to Somalia. It's not even a country because it doesn't function like a country. It's got a name, but it doesn't function like a country. Yeah, there's something wrong with Walz.
All right, so Walz is not going to, well, I mean, he's not going to like, obviously, the president going after him. But President Trump, again, not backing down from the comments that he made, even though the media tried to bully him a little bit there. Your reaction?
You can't back down.
Yeah.
Now is the time to speak up, to be more vocal. President Trump's exactly right. I mean, this guy's got some kind of problem. And I don't know what it is. And his wife's even worse. We saw him during the campaign. They couldn't put two sentences together. Here's a guy dancing out. Coming out wanting to be the vice president of the United States and looks like a clown, his mannerisms. But at the end of the day, that's what they voted for in Minnesota. And we talked about earlier about Texas and Alabama. I'm not as concerned. I'm concerned because the push is on now to take over the South and more Christian type areas.
Yeah.
I'm really worried about the northern states where there's not as many Christians anymore for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
They're being pushed out. All these kids are taking over these big cities. And we're going to have some problems that we can't fix in the cities. It's going to be so broken we can't fix it. And President Trump, again, the only way we can do it is start taking them and say, listen, adios, time to go home.
Yeah.
And I think he's on the verge of doing that.
Yeah, I think he is, and we're hopeful that he is, because this is a very important issue for every American at this point. They don't want to lose their communities, and they want to keep fighting for their communities, and that's exactly why we elected President Trump to get reelected and send him back into the White House, and that was very important. We've got about a minute left in this. I want you to talk about your campaign, because obviously you're running for governor of Alabama, like we mentioned earlier in the show. But what do you want the American people to know about your campaign?
Well, President Trump's still mad at me a little bit. He wants me to stay. As I told him, I said, listen, you're going to send the power back to the states. You're going to send the money and the power back. And should. States mm-hmm. should run their own, because we're all different. Texas is different than Alabama. Alabama is different than Tennessee. We're all different. And so I'm a builder. I'm kind of like him. I've coached football teams mm-hmm. all my life. I've put together staffs and those things. And I want to do the same thing in Alabama. I know people here now. I know the president. Our election's a year away. I've got a great chance to win. Right now, I don't have a primary candidate, but I do have a former Senator Doug Jones running against me. And of course, he still lives up here after he wants to run in Alabama for governor and been back maybe a couple of times. But at the end of the day, I want to make Alabama better. I'm visiting with every Republican governor across this country that has done something good and something bad. Try to learn from good. And that's what you did as a coach. Coaches are nothing but thieves. And governors are nothing but thieves. You steal things that work in other states. And so that's what I'm going to do, and I'm looking forward to it. But I got a year left here with President Trump, and I want to help him as much as I possibly can with a lot of things, especially mm-hmm. immigration.
Yeah, and that's a big one, and we look forward to that. Senator Tommy Tuberville, thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate your time, and it's always good to catch up with you in person, so we greatly appreciate it. Folks, in the meantime, make sure you head on over right now. We have a limited time sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. It's buy one, get one free on all supplements, so now is the time to stock up. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you grab it before this deal ends. Or also, with every purchase, you get an entry to win some cash and a great car. So definitely head on over to thealexjonesstore.com now. More on the way.
The 12 Days of Christmas sale is here at thealexjonesstore.com. The next 12 days, we will be running a series of limited time sales. All supplements while supplies last are buy one, get one free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement free. This isn't buy one supplement, the same supplement, like Ultra Methylene Blue, get another one free. This is you can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. I mean, this is an insanely good deal. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Sunday, December 7th. Visit theallshowstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. Every purchase gets 50x entries to win our Jeep Rubicon 392. Oh, my God. I drove one of those. Just amazing. So smooth. This is not your granddaddy's Jeep. Every purchase gets 50x entries this week. Every time you buy something, you put in 50 times in the sweepstakes to win our Jeep Rubicon 392, 10K cash on top of it, and brand new Ford Raptor, 10K cash for that. This only happens every few months in a crossover where we're about to end one sweepstakes and a new one's beginning. So there's this 1 week period every 2 months where when you enter to win, you can potentially win both vehicles, and it obviously increases your chance of winning one. The bigger issue is it funds this operation. And we can't do it without you. And we have changed the world together. And InfoWars is more influential than ever thanks to you being in the InfoWar. Everything I sell is the very best supplement we can get, the very best highly rated. I take it all. It has changed my life taking the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Bovine Colostrum. These aren't sexy names, but boy, they have sexy effects. The Ultra Methylene Blue. And again, consult your physician before you take Methylene Blue. Ours is medical grade, the strongest out there. Talk to your physician first before you take it. This isn't a game. But Bovine Colostrum, should probably rerun that ad. It was just me at dinner for my dad's birthday in November, right after he had open heart surgery. Thank God it went well. And they had just gotten my Bovine Colostrum before we even rolled it out a few months before. And my mother's like, our hair, our nails, our skin, this is insane. Well, Bovine Colostrum works really great. This is the best. We got the private label, the best that's out there. That's just an example of what is available at thealexjonesstore.com. So you can buy any supplement, buy one, get any other supplement you want free, and you've got just 5 days to do it until the 7th of December, 2025. And it's a total win-win. But you're going to get the Bovine Colostrum and have a great effect. You're going to get the Methylene Blue and have an incredible effect. You're going to get the Irish Sea Moss and have a great effect. Now, things like the Irish Sea Moss and Shilajit take a week or so to build up to feel the effects. Same with Bovine Colostrum. Not the case with Methylene Blue. Not the case with our turmeric. That is the strongest. 95% curcuminoid. The average turmeric product is 4%. Still works great for inflammation and, you know, helps your overall immune system and health. So these are all game-changing, amazing products at thealexjonesstore.com. And I want to thank you all for your support. Widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it. Do your Christmas shopping with us. Ball caps, T-shirts, hoodies, limited edition sweaters. Don't fight the crowds. Get great deals and support the InfoWar. Just decide to do your Christmas shopping at thealexjonesstore.com, and let's continue to change the world together.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with Shilajit, turmeric, Bovine Colostrum too, and he was always stocked high with the precious Methylene Blue. But up on Mount Microchip lived the Grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast, and he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took Methylene Blue, Red, Ultimate Life Force, and the Shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout, "The Globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop." To be continued.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the War Room. It's an exciting day here in Washington, D.C. It's swamp territory, folks, so we could get kind of excited about it. As many of you guys know, we'll talk about it in just a bit, but I have been in the swamp because, well, the corporate media got kicked out of the Pentagon. They actually self-deported. And as their replacements, if you really want to troll them, you send me in And so that's the reason why I'm here right now. We have been at the Pentagon, learning so much about the Pentagon, how it functions. There's a lot of acronyms I don't think people know, but now I know them all. And I have also been asking the real tough questions to some of the top officials over at the Pentagon. In case you want to see, I have a couple of great interviews that we're going to be doing tomorrow, which I'm really excited about. I'll be sitting down with great folks like Sean Parnell and General Anthony Tata and asking them some really tough questions, especially when it comes to Sean Parnell, because Sean Parnell is someone who is going to be releasing the report on the failed Afghanistan withdrawal. Now, we've spoken to him a couple of times about this, but we are going to get him on the record and ask him the tough questions right now. It's expected to come out early next year, that report. But we don't want any redactions. We want the full report. The American people deserve just that. So I will be asking Parnell about that, plus so much more, as the Pentagon continues to be under attack by those who claim to be Americans, who are trying to go after those in these official capacities and trying to get them tossed out with lies. So we'll be speaking to Parnell, which I look forward to doing that tomorrow. But just so you guys know, in about an hour, we're going to be taking your calls. So if you want to call into the show, let's give you that number right now. Give us a call, because right now we're going to be taking your calls at 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. If you want to call into the show and discuss the news topics we've discussed on the show thus far, or maybe you have a question that you want me to ask Sean Parnell or any of the Pentagon officials, because I'll be heading over there again tomorrow. Oh, we'll also be speaking with Pete Hegseth as well. How did I miss that? The Secretary of War. I'll be sitting down. Well, we'll be standing up. I think it's a gaggle. So it's going to be me and a couple of other reporters duking it out. But if there's a question that you want asked, send it our way. Give us a call right now. We will start taking calls in just a couple of minutes. I'll say like an hour to play it safe, but it's good time to get on hold right now if you want to get through. Nick Sorter is going to be joining me in studio as well in just a few moments. Nick actually calls the swamp his home these days. He's been doing a bunch of incredible reports. And so he's here located in D.C. So you guys know, Nick hosts a show on Sundays on InfoWars. It's a great show. We highly recommend everyone catches that, of course. But Nick will be joining me in studio to react to the news of the day, because there was a lot of sound bites going on all across the country. And Nick will be here joining us. All right. So it's a topic that I often talk about. Immigration. It's everyone's talking about it. It's the reason why President Trump was reelected in the first place, because Americans have had enough. They do not want a weak leader on issues like immigration. We have been infiltrated by people that hate us, people who don't have anything to contribute to our society. And that was kind of the guidelines for the Biden regime. I mean, they intentionally were taking these people in. This wasn't accidental. And then they also started giving them jobs and letting them flood the workplace. Places like the Department of Transportation have really been sitting there and trying to battle it out, because these illegal aliens have been getting their CDLs, driving trucks all across the country. They come from obviously the liberal states in the first place, and they send them everywhere. This is an issue that doesn't just stay in blue states. It happens to all of us. It affects all of us. And so when we're talking about holding these people accountable, Sean Duffy, who's obviously running the Department of Transportation, has been specifically calling it out. And he is not shying away from any of this. In fact, earlier today, we should have this soundbite, I believe, for you guys. I just don't have a call number for it. Sean Duffy was grilled on this issue, and he had no problem giving the American people the facts. Take a listen.
There have been states that have issued commercial driver's license to foreigners, and they've gone through sham schools, and they're not safe on American roadways. And so in partnership with Secretary Noem, we have driven those numbers down. We've got California, Gavin Newsom, to revoke 17,000 unlawfully issued licenses. We've closed out half of the fake schools that give out these fake licenses, all critically important. Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota gave 33% of these licenses unlawfully. People that should never have a driver's license driving a big rig on American roads.
The absurdity that these aliens were given CDLs and were allowed to drive all across the country. Folks, so many people have died. I've actually asked the Department of Transportation. I would love to be able to speak to Sean Duffy directly, the secretary, obviously, because I've got a lot of questions for him in regards to all of this. You know, now we're hearing about the illegal aliens who are driving these vehicles and causing horrific car crashes. We're hearing about the fatalities. But obviously, this didn't just start happening. The Biden regime very much, I'll just say, they were likely hiding the numbers, hiding the accidents, and not telling the American people that these people who were causing these accidents were illegal aliens. Because, of course, his party's out here giving out these licenses. And again, let me remind you, in case you guys didn't hear me ranting about this on the American Journal, in California specifically, the Indian immigrants over there, the illegals in there, over there, even some of the legal citizens who've come into this country have been legally given citizenship, I should clarify, they have been doing this opposite. It's a scam. It's a scam. A lot of these Indian-owned driver schools, trucker schools, are happily passing out these passing grades to all of these truck drivers. The DMV is also getting caught up, and I outlined it for you guys on my show over at the American Journal, where we've caught, and the DOJ has caught, multiple Indians intentionally giving these CDLs out, even though they can't speak English. They're paid off, they take the money, and they toss these CDLs at these illegal aliens. Now, of course, folks, this is something that needs to be stopped, top priority for the Transportation Department, but I want to know, prior to President Trump getting back into the White House, how many accidents were caused by illegal aliens who were obtaining CDLs in this country? I mean, it's a serious question that's worth asking, because we all know, I covered it again today, and I asked the Pentagon when I was at the Pentagon today, when we talk about sexual assault cases and actual assault cases that were carried out by Afghan migrants, we didn't get the actual numbers. They actually aggressively worked hard to suppress the facts. And I'm still fighting the FBI on those facts too, by the way. Yesterday we talked about it. On my show, there was a woman, a U.S. service member, a female U.S. service member, who claimed to have been assaulted by a group of Afghan men on Fort Bliss, at the base over there. The FBI, the last announcement that came out back in 2021 was the FBI was leading the investigation into all of this. It's been 4 years. I've submitted multiple Freedom of Information Act requests. I don't hear anything back from them on that. I've also tried my best to reach out for comments. They tell me, oh, go to the DOJ. Oh, go talk to DHS. They don't want to actually give me the information. Now, according to FBI whistleblower Kyle Serafin, he reached out, and guess why? He believes that the woman who reported that sexual assault was actually lying about it. Now, again, that's his opinion. That's his view. We don't know the woman's name. I want to know if she did lie. Why hasn't she been indicted? Has she been removed from serving? I mean, that is a serious, serious allegation to make. And I don't care where you come from. If a woman lies about a sexual assault case, you should be held criminally liable. You should be. An assault, you should be held criminally liable. So again, we're not really getting any answers on that front. And it's deeply, deeply concerning. But again, the FBI is stonewalling me, even under this leadership. Kash Patel and others, I don't know what's going on over there. They told us they were going to be transparent. I've grilled the FBI. I've asked them questions, even posting the emails that I'm sending over to them. They continue to tell me that particular case, they've got no comment on it. They've got no comment on it. And so that's what we're battling it out with. We're battling it out with these three-letter agencies claiming to be transparent, not transparent at all. And then when you ask them tough questions or questions that they simply just don't want to answer, they call you, is what the FBI said about my Thomas Crooks report. They call you False media. No, we're not false media. We have the receipts to prove that these are the simple facts, and they just don't want to admit it. Again, we didn't sign up for this. We wanted a reformed FBI. We wanted the FBI to be eliminated. But it doesn't look like we're turning the Hoover Building into a museum anytime soon, like you were promised. So again, we're going to continue to stay on their case. I'm not backing out anytime soon. I've been at this for 4 years now, just in that one particular case. I'm not going anywhere. Here's the assault that we're talking about. Apparently, according to Kyle Serafin, that this woman, who again, we don't know her name. I don't know if she's been charged. I can't even search for it. Apparently, she wasn't being truthful. That's the allegations that Kyle Serafin are making, in his opinion. And so again, we don't really know. We don't really know. And I simply just want to ask questions and get you the answers. But guess what? The FBI doesn't want you to know those answers. In fact, they are working very hard to suppress it. And I've tried repeatedly to ask. And there's really no change. Also, it's interesting. Let me pull this up right now, too. I was really upset yesterday because Miranda Devine, okay, she works for the New York Post. She's an incredible journalist. I'm sure you probably already know about her. But Miranda Devine has done an incredible job at exposing the corruption within the FBI and other agencies as well. She's also the reason why we have the Hunter Biden laptop story. That woman, according to people I've spoken to, this didn't come from her directly, fought really hard for the New York Post to publish the Hunter Biden laptop story. Now, if you remember, that was very controversial back in the day because everyone was a group of cowards, but not Miranda Devine. She pushed aggressively hard to make sure that you all saw what was on that laptop prior to the election. Well, now she's issuing criticism specifically towards the new leadership at the FBI. Now, listen, I was friends with these guys, so specifically one of them, I should say. So this isn't easy when you offer this level of criticism. And Miranda knew both of them. And so she's been calling it out. And unfortunately, we didn't get the response from the FBI that we wanted. She posted an article about how internally there were members of the FBI who truly do care for the cause and endorse and back, and they really wanted President Trump to get in so they could purge it out. But she detailed a bunch of accusations, and it's actually up on her ex page. She published this over at the New York Post, and she pretty much tells you what they're saying behind the scenes regarding Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, the deputy director and the FBI director. Behind the scenes, people are just saying that it's something of a clown show. It's a direct quote. The 115-page report that was written up by these FBI employees also says that they just don't believe that these guys are qualified for the job. And that a lot of their outbursts online going after people is just due to insecurities. They also said that they lack a level of self-confidence. This is according to Devine. Now, she's published this 115-page report on the FBI. It's like their six-month report card. And right now, according to these individuals, it's very important because Miranda yesterday was on Fox, and she defended this report, saying that these people who were behind this report, who are anonymous, so I know what you guys feel about that, these people were actually fighting for President Trump to make his way back in the White House, backing him, because they wanted the filth within the agency to be purged out. So according to her, they're saying that this comes from a great place. But when you read the details in her report, she also goes on to say that there was like some incident that Kash Patel wouldn't get out and go in front of the American people. Specifically, this is the date she's citing was when Charlie Kirk was assassinated. If he didn't get his FBI raid jacket, according to this quote that's in right now, the New York Post, he had refused to step from the plane without wearing one. I always thought it was strange seeing him in the FBI raid jacket in the first place. He just recently did a press conference, I believe it was earlier this week, and was in it as well. This is a guy who told us he was going to take out the FBI. Remember those sound bites? So again, it's been absolutely disappointing. Absolutely disappointing. Miranda Devine doing a great job at outlining this, going back and forth, saying that these two, according to this report, really care more about social media rather than going out there and doing their jobs. Well, it resulted, sadly, in Dan Bongino coming after her and saying, deep state Devine strikes again. I don't know a single person who refers to Miranda Devine as a deep state operative. Literally, I don't know a single person. In fact, too, the administration is constantly sending some of their highest officials to sit down with Miranda and do interviews with her because she's just such a credible person. I couldn't point to one story where I ever questioned Miranda's intent. But he goes after her, and I guess maybe he had his feelings hurt. You could always count on Miranda for a timed hit piece when the director and I are making big changes, it looks like. Miranda prefers the old guard. That is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life, first off. Second, like I just outlined to you all, you know, this report says that these guys care more about social media rather than doing their own jobs. And so what do we have here? Well, I think he just confirmed the report. Putting out this personal attack against Miranda Devine, it sounds like you're confirming the report. And listen, I've defended these guys privately behind the scenes. I've defended them because I know this is not an easy job. And I believe that sabotage is heavily involved in all of this. So I am not going to sit here and tell you that I believe that Dan Bongino is evil. I do not think that at all. I truly don't. I believe that there's sabotage, and I think it adds to the friction behind the scenes. But what I could also tell you, too, is Miranda Devine is not a bad person, nor do I think she's a deep state operative. I mean, the level of cojones on this woman to sit there and push back is massive. Also, just kind of give my perspective, as many of you guys know, I used to work for Fox Corp, and I'd have her on shows. She was one of the very few people, and by very few, I mean a couple people, when I came out and outed Fox for the vaccine push behind the scenes that was going on. who didn't cut me off, who didn't cut me off. So I have a lot of respect for her. I have a lot of respect for that woman. And so it's really upsetting to see these low swinging insults. Miranda Devine is not a deep state operative. I've never seen an ounce of evidence of that. And I think that sadly, by putting this tweet out, you just proved Miranda's point. Miranda Devine is obviously doing a great job at reporting. Everyone respects her. And so, yeah, I guess they're just not happy about this. But at this point, folks, I mean, I sat there, as many of you guys know, we talked about it on obviously InfoWars. I got my hands on a document that outlined Thomas Crooks's social media accounts, something that the FBI, the previous FBI, told us didn't exist. Well, we know that they existed. In fact, I got the same document that was sent over by the same source to Tucker Carlson, Miranda Devine, and myself, and we went through it. And before even publishing anything, I turned to the FBI for comments, as a responsible journalist would do, and they didn't want to respond. Tucker Carlson did the same thing before releasing his piece. And they actually sat there and said to him, well, how do you know this is real, what you're talking about? I mean, this is so crazy to me that the fact that these guys pretend like it's a new guard all of a sudden. I mean, they have not shown us anything. Where's the changes? Anytime I reach out to about personnel firings, I'm told can't comment on that. So when we sit here and we say Miranda Devine's upset about the old guard no longer being installed in this position, I argue that is absolutely disgusting to say. Again, this doesn't make any sense. If you're a person who follows what's been going on over at the FBI, you know this doesn't make any sense. This doesn't add up. And yet this is the argument that's being made right now by the FBI. Now, I know Miranda does a great job at reaching out for comments. She tries her very best, of course. But, folks, this is so crazy to me that we're in this place in the first place. I really hope things turn around over the FBI because we cannot continue to allow this to happen. Also, it's worth noting, if you remember that guy in California who worked for the FBI who was going around to all the big tech companies and pushing for censorship? It's like something Chang or Chen. I did a story on it. This is, has to be as soon as the FBI got back in. And I was told that he's was put on leave. And he was actually able to, based on what we know, because the FBI wouldn't confirm any of it, he was no longer, they obviously put him on leave, but he was able to milk his time to get his retirement benefits after going and suppressing your speech. After trying to literally put these big tech companies into chokeout, and we allowed it to happen. We allowed it to happen. He's going to get his benefits. It's totally egregious, but it's not surprising. Folks, earlier today, like I told you, I was over at the Pentagon in clip 16. Harrison Smith, as we could tell, we swapped places today, but Harrison Smith was covering it live on air as it was all going down. Take a listen to Harrison's remarks about seeing new reporters over at the Pentagon.
Yes. Thank you, Kinsley. A question for you in regards to the Afghan withdrawal. When we brought these migrants onto military bases, or these refugees onto military bases, we saw a surge in assaults immediately after, sexual assaults and physical assaults. And then all of a sudden, under the previous administration, we no longer learned of anything that was happening anymore on these military bases. Does this Pentagon plan on giving us some type of criminal data on that to see what actually happened when they were brought onto these military bases? And do we have any status updates on, like, FBI investigations and such?
So for FBI investigations, anything that would be a criminal law enforcement matter would obviously be something to direct to the Department of Justice, as we cannot speak to that from our perch here at the Department of War. But what I can tell you is that we are aware of a lot of that activity that went on. It's despicable. One is too many, right? And we understand that the Biden administration, unfortunately, put our troops and our country last in many cases. The secretary is committed to correcting that. And I think that's what you're going to see going forward. Yes.
All right. So that was,
thank you.
Host of this show, host of the American Journal, Brandon Morello, asking a question to the Pentagon spokesperson. You know, there are a couple times where I felt like interrupting right there, but honestly, it was interesting and the questions being asked are good. And really what we're witnessing here is a real sea change. It's like I'm dreaming or something. So you've got a Pentagon press briefing, but I recognize half the people there. I saw Savannah Hernandez. I saw Brandon Morello, Laura Loomer, James O'Keefe is there, somebody from Real America's Voice, somebody from Gateway Pundit, somebody from InfoWars, of course, Brandon Morello, or, you know, ex-InfoWars TPUSA representative, Savannah Hernandez. This is crazy. This is awesome. And they're asking good questions. And I was going back and looking up some transcripts from other, you know, Pentagon briefings where the AP is asking questions. And it, half the time it would literally descend into like a shouting match as they're like, so you're not going to be sending food to this place? And just like, just causing outrage, causing dissension. Again, here we actually get pertinent questions about what the intentions of the Trump administration are. You know, the Pentagon's going to be, you know, she's got her talking points and she sort of returns to, you know, the prefabricated statements. You know, I don't expect her to be all that transparent, but the fact that we have independent reporters in there, uncontrolled, not mainstream media reporters in there, InfoWars reporters in there, is just absolutely mind-blowing and incredible. And they're asking very good questions. And, you know, the only thing I'd say I'm a little disappointed in from the Pentagon right now is, again, talking about treason and sedition of people like Mark Kelly, as if they can't do anything about it, as if they just have to let it continue and hope everybody else is as outraged as they are. Like, isn't Mark Kelly in the military? Can you court-martial him? Why are you telling us he's treasonous? This is nonsense. We'll go back to this on the other side. This is fascinating.
You guys like how I just sit there? I played my clip from the Pentagon with Harrison Smith filling in for me, reacting to the clip while I take over and just fill in for Harrison. I don't know. I feel like that was very politician-wise of me to praise myself there, but I force you all to listen. Listen, Harrison Smith did a great job today filling in for me at the American Journal this morning. Tomorrow they'll have Rob do as well because I got to, you know, do some interviews over the Pentagon, and then I'll be making my way back into my chair on Thursday to bring you all the great interviews that we've done so far. Again, a lot of questions being asked that I think most people weren't really expecting, and I'm going to do just that tomorrow as well when I sit down with top officials over at the Pentagon and have one-on-one discussions with them. Also worth noting, we are going to be speaking with Secretary of War Pete Hegseth as well. It'll be great to see him because, as many of you guys know, he's under attack. And obviously, I know he could fight back and he could handle this, but man, oh man, can't wait to talk to that guy. Folks, in the meantime, I just got an alert regarding the latest on the AutoPen scandal. It looks like President Trump just posted this on Truth Social. I wanted to bring this to your attention. He's claiming that any and all documents, proclamations and executive orders, Miranda's or contracts signed by the order of the now infamous and unauthorized auto pen by obviously Joe Biden. He's just going to avoid it. It's done. It's garbage. He announced that this is official, that there is not going to be any of those documents with any type of authority. And he's in fact going to, I guess, I hope, sign this in this executive order, whatever he's got to do. I hope he signs it with a pen, like a real pen. We have proof that he did. He should joke and say AutoPen signed it, though. That would be great. But, folks, the president now looks like he's shutting down the AutoPen documents that Joe Biden allegedly signed. In case you missed it, too, let me just remind you. This is how you know Joe Biden wasn't actually signing away at those documents. There was a convicted pedophile with over 47,000 images, child pornography images, on his device. And for some reason, President Biden, say that loosely, decided to pardon or commute this guy's sentence. And of course, he's a Chinese national, so they sent him back to China. Doesn't really sound like a legacy you want to leave behind if you were legitimately a president who believed that your time in the White House was something that should be a happier piece of American history. It's my nicer way of phrasing that. So AutoPen looks like it's canceled, but this is just the beginning. We want answers. We want accountability. We want people in prison for this. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now, like right now, because we had the buy one, get one free on the supplements going on right now. Time to stock up if you haven't done so already. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you stock up on your supplements. Nick Sorter joining me in just a few moments. So do not go anywhere. We're live from Washington, D.C. in the Rebel Studio.
Quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensation that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the methylene blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, it's a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But, yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experiences so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier, not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those, like, high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
I'm grateful that the court ended the case against me, which was a prosecution based on malevolence and incompetence.
This investigation of the president was corrupt. The FBI and the Department of Justice were politicized and weaponized. And in my opinion, there are only two possibilities: that you were deliberately corrupt or woefully incompetent. And I don't believe you were incompetent.
This case mattered to me personally, obviously, but it matters most because a message has to be sent that the President of the United States cannot use the Department of Justice to target his political enemies. I don't care what your politics are. You have to see that as fundamentally un-American and a threat to the rule of law that keeps all of us free.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th? Yes or no?
Sir, I can't answer that.
I know that Donald Trump will probably come after me again. And my attitude's going to be the same. I'm innocent, I am not afraid, and I believe in an independent federal judiciary.
Well, what I will say is that everybody knows that James Comey lied to Congress.
On May 3rd, 2017, in this committee, Chairman Grassley asked you point blank, quote, "Have you ever been an anonymous source in news reports about matters relating to the Trump investigation or the Clinton investigation?" You responded under oath, quote, "Never." He then asked you, quote, "Have you ever authorized someone else at the FBI to be an anonymous source in news reports about the Trump investigation or the Clinton administration?" You responded again under oath, "No." Now, as you know, Mr. McCabe, who works for you, has publicly and repeatedly stated that he leaked information to the Wall Street Journal and that you were directly aware of it and that you directly authorized it. Now, what Mr. McCabe is saying and what you testified to this committee cannot both be true. One or the other is false. Who's telling the truth?
I can only speak to my testimony. I stand by what the testimony you summarized that I gave in May of 2017.
So your testimony is you've never authorized anyone to leak. And Mr. McCabe, if he says contrary, is not telling the truth. Is that correct?
Again, I'm not going to characterize Andy's testimony, but mine is the same today.
It's as clear as day. And this judge took an unprecedented action to throw these cases out to shield James Comey and Letitia James from accountability based on a technical ruling. And the administration disagrees with that technical ruling. We believe the attorney in this case, Lindsay Halligan, is not only extremely qualified for this position, but she was, in fact, legally appointed. And I know the Department of Justice will be appealing this in very short order. So maybe James Comey should pump the brakes on his victory lap.
Well, the Drudge Report, the Democrat Party mouthpiece, has the headline, "Bondi blows it. Comey and James cases dismissed by another one of these globalist judges," the same ones that have said everything Trump's been doing is illegal, like arresting illegal aliens, and of course higher courts then override it. But it's a lot harder when a criminal case gets dismissed by a judge.
Did the FBI do these investigations by the book?
No.
No question.
No question.
These FBI records about the burn bags came to light during the criminal prosecution of former FBI Director James Comey. These burn bags contained records from Mar-a-Lago, January 6th, and the FBI Russia probe.
Someone has access to those different cases, a very limited source.
So limited source or a very senior person.
Right.
Is the fact that there was an investigator level briefing for journalists at the New York Times?
That is highly, if it's not illegal, I don't know what it is.
They, Lindsay showed the receipts that Kash Patel and Dan Bongino found, including in the burn bags inside of a skiff inside the FBI. They were trying to destroy this evidence, and Cash and Dan found it, turned it over to Lindsay, and Lindsay filed her response to Comey's motion to dismiss for malicious prosecution.
The CIA warns the FBI, and then at the same time, they're applying to the National Security Court using information, which is opposition research.
Right. You can ruin somebody's life by just open investigation on them.
The globalists have most of the courts. They have the big corporations. They have a lot of the brainwashed young people. They have the universities. They don't have the mind of the average person anymore. But to them, they all feel insulated. They can just, as a mob, move against us in different ways. And that they're going to be victorious in the end. I can assure you that it's not going to go the way you think.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by billionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle with the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt. Go get a ball cap. Get the ultramethylene blue. Get the Irish sea moss. And so you just commit to support us. Sign up for auto ship. Get 50% off. You cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You just subscribe to it or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
Washington, D.C., Swamp Territory, of course. As many of you guys know, a lot's been going on over here. Before I jump into the show, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's buy one, get one free in supplements. It's one of our best sales, of course, and it's time to stock up. So just do that. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Get your Christmas shopping done over at the shop. When you support us, of course, you keep the operation up and running, and we greatly appreciate you for doing just that. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Also, in about, I'd say, 25 minutes, we're going to be taking calls from you. Many of you guys know I'll be back in the Pentagon tomorrow speaking with the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, Sean Parnell as well, his special advisor or senior advisor, I believe is the exact term, plus the spokesman. He's got a lot of hats, that guy, General Anthony Tata as well. We've got a lineup tomorrow of people I'll be speaking with. So if you want to call in and you want to come out and, you know, give me some advice, maybe what to ask, call into the show. We'll take your calls in just a few moments because we got a lot to dive into, of course. But right now, like I mentioned, we are in Washington, D.C. A lot going on over here. A lot of – today was a lot of things going on. Joining me in studio, you might have seen him. He's a common individual on InfoWars, of course. Nick Sorter joining me in studio today. Thank you for being here.
I appreciate you having me on. I'm sorry. I just walked from home. My mouth is a little cold, but it'll warm up and I'll be able to talk. I will say, like, I have the InfoWars, I do the Sunday briefing now.
Yes.
Because, you know, you got promoted and you're a big shot now, but your ad reads are so much better than mine are. I mean, it's really...
Yeah. Well, you know, Matt will hand me the script of how, and I'm just like, Matt, I can't pronounce half these words, but I can tell people to go to the alexjonesstore.com because it's buy one, get one free, and I love a sale. Yeah, literally. I'm like, yeah, this is great. It's back in stock. The red is back in stock too. So it sells out quick, but people are big fans of the supplements that we sell. So that's the good news.
Yeah. Well, she went down there, Naomi. Yeah. Some of you may have seen her on the show. Naomi's like, she was like, you were on there for like an hour on InfoWars, the Alex Jones show.
Yeah.
And she was telling me all about the supplements that he's got lined up behind the studio walls there. So
yes. Well, you gotta come down to the studio and join me on, it's an early time slot, but the American Journal
I don't know how you do it.
I don't know how we do it either. I've become a morning person, actually, especially with all of this going on. But yeah, we've been doing that. And I take the supplements every day now because I need to wake up in the morning. So that's good. Yeah. Yeah. So it's been enjoyable. But, you know, you're a busy man these days. You're showing up to these, they call them protests. I wouldn't call them real protests, but you're really getting into the fray of all of this. Give us an update. What's going on? Cause I know you've been busy. You were obviously arrested. We spoke, you know, virtually. But here we are in person, so we might as well give it a swing again.
Here we are in person, so clearly not in jail anymore, although they would love me to be in jail again, and they are trying, let's be very clear. But the out in Portland, I mean, you see, like, there's a first of all, they don't like to do their whole, oh, I'm going to fight fascism when it gets a little bit cold out, because the fascism can wait, apparently. The police, the Portland police, have been acting like they're doing something outside of the ICE facility because they want to make sure, because the Court of Appeals out there, the Ninth Circuit out there, is doing something called an en banc hearing, because they didn't like the 2-1 decision ruling in Trump's favor. So the other judges on the court were like, no, we're going to all hear this case now. So they have to rehear it. And as of now, even though this ICE facility out there has been raided, it's been barricaded, where DHS agents have been held hostage inside.
Yeah.
They're still not allowed to deploy the National Guard out there, which I don't know what the National Guard is supposed to be for at this point. Nobody has been able to articulate that to me, if it's not for protecting federal agents who are doing their constitutional duty and the citizens around the facility that are in grave danger because of these rioters and terrorists that are outside every night.
Okay, so you know what's crazy? Today at the Pentagon, I learned a lot. I learned the guardsmen who are now being sent all across the country to all these cities, their job, and we've heard them describe it specifically like this, but I don't think many Americans realize it, is just to support law enforcement. So when it comes to arrests and stuff like that, they can't even do that. So It feels like to me, and I'll let you kind of, you obviously have firsthand experience, but it feels like to me that it sounds great that we're sending the National Guard in to help out, but there's really no backup on legitimacy behind it where they're able to actually go out there and really arrest these people. I mean, they can detain them and then just hand them over to another law enforcement agency, but they themselves don't have any authority.
Yeah, and I mean, they don't even want to send them out. When they were first deployed out here in D.C., they didn't even have firearms on them, and you see now why that was a problem.
Yeah.
We were sounding the alarm on that for the longest time, and keep in mind, you know, I think President Trump has the best intentions in mind, right? But at the end of the day, I mean, he still has some people that are like, oh, well, this might be a little bit too politically charged, you know, if you send them out with long rifles in the streets. But at this point, it's proven. It's not the National Guard that's shooting people. It's people shooting the National Guard. And these people end up being terrorists from Afghanistan that are CIA trained, apparently, that are coming in from the West Coast, thousands of miles away, to come in and assassinate National Guard troops out here. So I don't know why they're not armed to the teeth at this point.
Yeah, and they were able to stop him by someone having a pocket knife on him. That's it.
Yeah.
How crazy is that? Well, you know, you bring up the immigration issue, and I want to bring that up because earlier today, the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, in clip 11 was actually talking about that. And specifically, he's saying, you know, no country is safe when you're just shuffling all these unknown illegal aliens into your country. Take a listen.
And I can go down the list. Why has he focused on mass migration? It's very simple, because no country is safe if you can just walk in without us knowing who you are into your country. We've seen the destruction that's wreaking, not just in our own country, but the impact that it's having in Europe and in many other parts of the world. You talk about trade deals and the trade situation.
You guys see there, he's calling it out, and I think it's important because, I mean, Nick, the reality of it is we shuffled these people into our country, and we don't know who they are, and we're finding out the hard way. Do you even think, we had Senator Tommy Tuberville here too, and I asked him the same question, but do you think that there's a legitimate way to vet these Afghan refugees when we're bringing them into our country? I mean, we don't even know who they are. They say that the suspect last week in D.C. is 29 years old. If you look at his face, he doesn't look 29.
Well, think about it this way. Who do you have to ask in Afghanistan? So who holds the records? It's the Afghanis, right?
Taliban.
Yeah. Who runs Afghanistan? It's the Taliban. So Basically, we're asking the Taliban to vet people for us in the United States of America. And clearly that's, you know, going to be anybody that the Taliban is going to give a rave review to. It's probably not going to be the best person that's fit for the United States of America. And they knew that you say that we're finding out the hard way. We are not finding out the hard way. It's the poor American people that were successfully convinced in this lie that they were thoroughly vetted when they were coming in and such, those are the ones that are learning the hard way. The people that bought into the lie that Jen Psaki told, that Alejandro Mayorkas said, and then Joe Biden parroted because he didn't know what the hell was going on. Those are the people that are finding out the hard way.
And it's sad because we shouldn't have to learn the hard way on all of this. And again, we have that great soundbite of Psaki saying, oh, they're all vetted. They're all vetted. Now would be a great time to circle back with her because she was a fraud from day one. And she continues to go on MSNBC, even push like fake news stories as if they're authentic. But she doesn't care. She's got a narrative to spin and she's not afraid to do it. You know, also one of the big topics over these last few months has been the SNAP program, food stamps. You know, so much fraud has been uncovered in all of this, but blue states won't hand over their data, which I think is insane that we even keep funding them if they won't hand over their information. But I want to play clip 12 for you because Brooke Rollins, obviously running agriculture right now, Department of Agriculture, she spoke out about the very latest amount of fraud that they've caught in regards to SNAP benefits. Take a listen.
USDA, but the third thing, which became very much a part of the national conversation during the Democrat shutdown, was SNAP reform, food stamp reform. When all of America saw what so many of us know and have been working on, but when you have so much rampant fraud in a program that 42 million Americans participate in, now a big good piece of news that I hope is written about, since you became president, about 800,000 of those 42 million have moved off of food stamps, which is hopefully the plan with better jobs, higher wages, et cetera. But still, when we found 186,000 dead people or dead people's Social Security numbers being used, 500,000 people receiving benefits more than twice. We had a couple of people receiving benefits in six states. In February of this year, we asked for all the states for the first time to turn over their data to the federal government to let the USDA partner with them to root out this fraud, to make sure that those who really need food stamps are getting them, but also to ensure that the American taxpayer is protected. 21 states said yes, not surprised. 29 states said yes, not surprisingly, the red states. And that's where all of that data, that fraud comes from. But 21 states, including California, New York, and Minnesota, the blue states, continue to say no. So as of next week, we have begun and will begin to stop moving federal funds into those states until they comply. And they tell us and allow us to partner with them to root out this fraud and to protect the American taxpayer.
All right, just note, it's worth noting, I guess you should say, that the government is currently, federal government's currently suing these states that are refusing to hand over their data on who's getting these food stamps and who's collecting them. But, you know, Nick, I could only assume that the people who are collecting it in blue states are probably committing an absurd amount of fraud. And then they have their state governments covering for them and refusing to snitch on them to the federal government. How insane is that?
Well, I mean, I don't know why. You got to think about it. It's the fact that we are continuing to blindly write checks to these Democrat states like California, Michigan, you know, whatever you name them, that don't want to hand over this data as to who are getting these SNAP benefits. Think about, we spend almost $1 trillion on this every single year on these stupid benefits that are going to, I mean, look on TikTok, which I hate to do because it gives me brain cancer every time that I do, but they go in and they're buying, you know, the bulk load of Twinkies and big bags of Doritos and stuff. That is what the SNAP program is going to. And it's not just going to those people, but also illegal aliens. And so it's time to put the foot down. And I've talked to Secretary Rollins personally, and I keep pushing on this issue, and she genuinely is trying to go after it. And I think that she will, but you know, we have to make sure that it's actually done rather than, you know, people have press release fatigue right now. That's what we're going to call it. Like they're tired of hearing, oh, things are going to be done and then they don't end up being done. And so we need to see the action on this and we really need to see it soon.
Oh my gosh. I just put the most perfect photo up. Some obese woman baking it on her.
Oh my God.
I mean. Sorry, folks. I hope you're not eating dinner right now. So you have to watch that because that will definitely slim you down. But no, I mean, you're 1,000% correct. You know, Rollins, I've appreciated sitting back and watching her do her job because this is an issue that she's taken on, a top priority issue. And the American people, like during the shutdown, that's probably the best thing that happened. I mean, I didn't know there was like 42 million Americans or people, they said, on our food stamp program. And so I think that was one of the perks of the shutdown. We learned that there was a lot of people who are leeching on the system.
It's 10% of the country.
Yeah.
10%. 1% of the country, and you see a lot of these people, they don't actually need it. Like, you're not going to sit here and tell me that whatever, but like, you can pull that photo back up. You're not going to convince me that this person needs food, okay? Yeah. This person is not going to starve. They probably could go another 3 or 4 shutdowns without starving here. So clearly, this is not a necessity for this person. And I've said it once, I'll say it again, and I'll say it 5,000 more times, that SNAP, the N in SNAP stands for nutrition, and those ho-hos or whatever that are on the floor, not including the fat black hoe there, that is not nutritious in any way, shape, or form. So
it's not, and it's frustrating because we're paying for this out of our own pocket. But again, I have to just disclaim, we don't know if she's on food stamps. Issued that disclaimer there, but she's eating good. I can confirm that just based off the looks. But it's just so frustrating. It's just so frustrating. And they brag about it. A lot of the people brag about it on social media, and I'm just so overseeing it. But let's get to something a little bit more serious. You know, we're sitting back, and I was at the Pentagon, you know, the old media is being pushed out. They voluntarily self-deported, and they're being replaced with the new media, which is great because now I have access, and that's exciting at least. Pisses off the corporate media, which we approve of course, but they still are going after Secretary of State, Secretary of War. Now that they changed the name, it kind of throws me off a little bit. Pete Hegseth, he's been fighting it out and battling it out, and they continue to push all these fake news stories. Things have gotten so bad that the Washington Post published a story that even the New York Times had to fact check and say, that's wrong. That's how you know things are getting bad at the Pentagon. But I want to play clip 13 for you, because even though they're really going after him and attacking Pete Hegseth, he's not backing down anytime soon. In fact, he says that he's still going to keep going after those narco-terrorists. Take a listen.
I'll say again, we've only just begun striking narco boats and putting narco terrorists at the bottom of the ocean because they've been poisoning the American people. And Joe Biden tried to approach it with kid gloves and allowed them to come across the border. Cartels take over community, 20 million people, hundreds of thousands of Americans poisoned. And President Trump said, no, we're taking the gloves off. We're taking the fight to these designated terror organizations, and it's exactly what we're doing. So we're stopping the drugs, we're striking the boats, we're defeating narco-terrorists, and we're standing...
And Pete, you may say one thing, that drugs coming in through the sea by sea are down 91%.
I'm not sure either, sir.
But down 91% by sea.
We've had a bit of a pause because it's hard to find boats to strike right now. Which is the entire point. Right? Deterrence has to matter, not arrest and hand over and then do it again. The rinse and repeat approach of previous administrations. This is meant to get after that.
Okay, so Nick, obviously this is quite impressive to sit back and listen to the corporate media defend narco-terrorists. I mean, that's how bad they hate President Trump, that they're actually going to go out there and defend these people who have killed thousands of Americans.
Yeah, they're like, oh, well, only a couple hundred thousand people have been killed at the hands of these narco-terrorists out there. And it's pretty wild. I think that the story that the Washington Post decided they were going to push over the past week was to distract from the seditious six that were in, you know, pretty hot water for saying that troops needed to disobey, using their platforms and using their previous military experience or whatever you want to say, yes, look, I was in the military, and you know what, you should ignore orders from President Trump that you perceive to be illegal. And I mean, if it was up to these guys, like everything that President Trump, like saluting President Trump would be illegal in their eyes. And I think this is all a distraction. I think that's why the Washington Post put this out to begin with. The Washington Post, you know, I will say, have been probably the most pissed off out of any mainstream media outlet that you guys are now Pentagon correspondents. So
yeah.
I don't know if you've been watched on Twitter or X, but.
I actually blocked a lot of them, not going to lie.
Good call.
These reporters, they went after Loomer yesterday. Loomer was just cracking on them, roasting them a little bit at one of their desks. It was interesting going around their own office space. One of us, we found like someone's face mask, like the actual mask they were wearing. Don't know why they'd have that there, but that just tells you all you need to know about their reporting. It is biased. And there was actually wine glasses that were used that were left behind. I don't know. I didn't drink out of it.
I don't know what kind of diseases those would have. I would stay away.
I did stay away from it. They went after Loomer, though, tried to go after her. She's in good spirits, though. She was having fun. And, you know, the New York Times reached out to me for comments. I gave them a little bit. Then I was like, you know what? F you guys. I'm just so done with you. You're all divisive. You're nasty. You're evil people. The Guardian asked me to jump on a call with them to give them comments. I told them I don't have time to talk to any of you. It's just so frustrating because these people have spent a large amount of time going after the new media that's going to be now in the room. rather than going after people like Lloyd Austin, who went MIA for a week to have surgery and didn't want to tell anyone about it. So this is, they're not happy with being replaced, but I'm sure we're actually going to get to the bottom of a lot of good stories here. And, you know, we're asking tough questions and we're going to hold the Pentagon accountable. We're not fools. We're not fools. We're not going to sit there and let them, you know, give us a watered down statement or not be truthful to the American people. We will hold them accountable and we look forward to doing just that. Switch gears a little bit. It looks like, the press secretary, I want to get this going because she says that President Trump, well, this is what she's saying in regards to the travel ban. You know, we had Senator Tommy Tuberville on a little while ago and he was going off about the whole Islamic takeover of this country. But the travel ban, one of my favorite things that President Trump did in his first term, I know this was the media that quoted it or made up this nickname. They called it like the Muslim ban and he went after strategically countries that hate us and wouldn't allow them to come into our country. Well, it looks like the travel ban might be coming back. So I want to play clip 15 for us so we can listen to the very latest on that. Take a listen.
President Trump has done more to crack down on illegal immigration and to strengthen our legal immigration system than any president in history. Several months ago, he announced a travel ban on 19 third world and failed state countries around the world. Secretary Noem announced tonight she's recommending that travel ban widens and covers more countries around the globe. Special immigrant visas, which we know many Afghans have used to come into our country, there has been a complete suspension in pause on all of those. If you look at the entire visa process in general, we have greatly strengthened and heightened the vetting process and requirements for that under Secretary Rubio's leadership at the State Department. And he has used his authority, which is unprecedented, to actually revoke the visas of many individuals who, yes, came here legally, but still pose a risk to our country and should have never been allowed in the first place. And I would just remind people around the world that coming to the United States of America is a privilege. It is not a right. And if you abuse that privilege, and if you don't align with the values of the United States, and you don't respect our country, our culture, our laws, and our people, you are not welcome here under the leadership of President Donald J. Trump.
I like the sound of this, Nick, right? If you don't respect our country, if you don't love our country, we're done with you. We're a couple months into this, obviously, administration, so it's good to hear it now. But again, the media is sitting here and pushing this like this is racist. But I mean, we bring in people from countries that hate us and then wonder why these types of attacks happen.
Yeah, I mean, they've been calling this, like, you think about what Trump said back in 2015, you know, he said he was calling on a complete and total shutdown of all Muslims coming into the country. And I wish we could go back to that policy. Call me racist. I really don't care at this point. It's, clearly these people do not, and they refuse to conform with the American people. They will not assimilate. We're not going to assimilate to them. It has to be the other way around. And they're not going to. We knew they weren't going to. And quite frankly, like, I'm glad they're doing this, but this should have been done how many months ago? 10, 11 months ago? And now we'll go back and revet all these people, but we can't, as we said at the top of the show, we can't revet these people. How do you vet these people? What do you say? Oh, well, if they worked with the CIA, then, you know, maybe we're going to like boot their asses out. Unfortunately, they're already here. And there are, how many of them did you saw these planes that were just full of, and they were actually, taking off out of Afghanistan, overloaded. That's how many people were on the plane. These massive C-17s were overweight coming out, 100,000+ of them. We don't know where they are at this point. We don't know what they're doing. We don't know if they're being radicalized while they're in the country here. We don't need to discriminate. We can be equal opportunity offenders, meaning that they can all leave instead of just a few of them.
I'm down with that. And Operation Allies Welcome brought in more than 70,000
Afghans. This doesn't sound like an ally to me, but.
No, it doesn't. I mean, if you love your country, this doesn't sound like an ally. And, you know, I speak to service members. And in fact, tomorrow when I speak with Sean Parnell over at the Pentagon, I'm actually going to ask him because he had a very interesting take on this that he said years ago in regards to the Afghan men when he was there with female service members. There was a group of women who he just like they had to protect because the Afghan men were targeting them and they wanted to sexually assault them. And so it's just one of the many layers. We bring them into this country, we allow them in, and then we expect them to change their behaviors. And
what benefit do they serve to us?
Can anybody name any?
They can never tell. Remember, Ilhan Omar did say that Somalians are the fabric of this great country.
Well, I would say that Somalis are a shit stain on the fabric of this country, if you want to say. Am I allowed to say that? I don't know if I'm on terrestrial radio. Sorry, guys.
They've got the belly button. They're good to go.
But anyway, so, I mean, like, you see what's going on with the Somalis out there right now, where they just found out that a billion plus dollars is somehow missing and nobody noticed. I mean, we've been right every single time. It's not even just the conspiracy theorists at this point. It's the people that are just like a little bit right of center are pretty much right every single time now.
If you're not a conspiracy theorist, you're an idiot at this point. Yeah. And we have a higher accuracy rate than the mainstream media, especially here on InfoWars. So, you know, we'll just keep calling it out. Nick, thank you for joining me in studio. It's a pleasure to see you here.
Appreciate you having me and welcome to the swamp.
It's quite lovely. The weather's been garbage too, but what else do we expect? All right, folks, we got more underway. We're going to be taking your calls in just a few moments. If you haven't done so already and you want to sound off, maybe give me some advice as we prepare for tomorrow's big day where I'll be trying to throw some questions over at Pete Hegseth and others. Give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We're taking your calls at the end. So 5 minutes? So don't go anywhere. Make sure you give us a call if you want to chat. Also, in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Buy one, get one free on all your favorite supplements. Now is the time to stock up over at thealexjonesstore.com.
The 12 Days of Christmas sale is here at thealexjonesstore.com. For the next 12 days, we will be running a series of limited-time sales. All supplements, while supplies last, are buy one, get one free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement free. This isn't buy one supplement, the same supplement, like Ultra Methylene Blue, get another one free. This is you can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. I mean, this is an insanely good deal. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Sunday, December 7th. Visit thealexjonesstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. Every purchase gets 50x entries to win our Jeep Rubicon 392. Oh, my God. I drove one of those. Just amazing. So smooth. This is not your granddaddy's Jeep. Every purchase gets 50x entries this week. Every time you buy something, you're putting 50 times in the sweepstakes to win our Jeep Rubicon 392, 10K cash on top of it, and brand new Ford Raptor, 10K cash for that. This only happens every few months in a crossover where we're about to end one sweepstakes and a new one's beginning. So there's this 1 week period every 2 months where when you enter to win, you can potentially win both vehicles. That obviously increases your chance of winning one. The bigger issue is it funds this operation. And we can't do it without you. And we have changed the world together. And InfoWars is more influential than ever thanks to you being in the InfoWar. Everything I sell is the very best supplement we can get, the very best highly rated. I take it all. It has changed my life taking the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Bovine Colostrum. These aren't sexy names, but boy, they have sexy effects. The Ultra Methylene Blue. And again, consult your physician before you take Methylene Blue. Ours is medical grade, the strongest out there. Talk to your physician first before you take it. This isn't a game. But Bovine Colostrum, should probably rerun that ad. It was just me at dinner for my dad's birthday in November, right after he had open heart surgery. Thank God it went well. And they had just gotten my Bovine Colostrum before we even rolled it out a few months before. And my mother's like, our hair, our nails, our skin, this is insane. Well, Bovine Colostrum works really great. This is the best. We got the private label, the best that's out there. That's just an example of what is available at thealexjonesstore.com. So you can buy any supplement, buy one, get any other supplement you want free, and you've got just 5 days to do it until the 7th of December, 2025. And it's a total win-win. But you're going to get the Bovine Colostrum and have a great effect. You're going to get the Methylene Blue and have an incredible effect. You're going to get the Irish Sea Moss and have a great effect. Now, things like the Irish Sea Moss and Shilajit take a week or so to build up to feel the effects. Send them a Bovine Colostrum. Not the case with Methylene Blue. Not the case with our turmeric. That is the strongest. 95% curcuminoid. The average turmeric product is 4%. Still works great for inflammation and, you know, helps your overall immune system and health. So these are all game-changing, amazing products at thealexjonesstore.com. And I want to thank you all for your support. Wide selection of pastry apparel, you name it. Do your Christmas shopping with us. Ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, limited edition sweaters. Don't fight the crowds. Get great deals and support the InfoWar. Just decide to do your Christmas shopping at thealexjonesstore.com, and let's continue to change the world together.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with Shilajit, turmeric, bovine colostrum, too. And he was always stocked high with the precious methylene blue. But up on Mount Microchip lived the Grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast. And he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took methylene blue, red, ultimate life force, and the Shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout. The globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop. To be continued.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
A lot to unpack. A lot of great guests joined me today in studio. As many of you guys know, we're in Rumble Studio over in Washington, D.C. I'm in swamp territory. I've been covering the Pentagon, and it's been quite the eventful day so far. So we've been doing a recap of all of that, and a lot's gone on. But it's been a very good day for me. Actually, it's been a great day for me. I'm not going to downplay it. I tatted myself a little bit in the last hour. We're going to keep that going. Today, we had a massive victory on the legal side of things. As many of you guys know, one of my hobbies is suing the federal government. And under the Biden regime, I did just that. And I can now claim victory over everyone's arch enemy, TSA. TSA just officially agreed to settle the lawsuit. Now, I sued TSA because they refused to hand over government documents that through the Freedom of Information Act requests, they're supposed to hand over. But they just decided not to because, well, Joe Biden was occupying the White House and they didn't think the rules applied to them. So I sued them and we won. Now, if you're wondering what does a lawsuit like that look like when you claim victory, well, this is a hard one to claim victory on because these rarely happen. The TSA actually had to hand over documents. Remember when illegal aliens were being shuffled through airports and they didn't have to show their IDs? Well, I asked, like, how else are you guys going to prove who these people are? They say they are. How do you know they're not terrorists? You're shuffling them on commercial flights. You don't know who these people are. The Biden regime didn't want to tell me how they were verifying their identities. And then I learned through this lawsuit after suing that they were actually bringing convicted sex offenders into our country and then allowing them to use those documents that were given to them by DHS as IDs to come and fly on planes. No, seriously, that happened under the Biden regime. I put all that up if you wanted to see it for yourself over at independentnewsroom.com, independentnewsroom.com. It's where I dump all of my big victories, document victories, of course. So you can head on over there to view that. But that was one element to it. That was a slam dunk win. So what does that mean? Well, after they finally hand things over, that means now that they have to pay my legal fees, which is a big one, especially when you're not a multimillionaire. So they will have to now pay over $5,000 in legal fees for my attorney, as well as reimburse me for the court filing. And I don't make a single dollar off of this, folks. We don't get any profit personally. My lawyer obviously gets paid for his time and effort. But that's the big news here. I got the documents, and that was good news. The only thing that they didn't hand over were my internal emails that I was requesting regarding quiet skies and how so many J6ers landed on the list. They claimed that it's a national security issue if they gave me those documents. So unfortunately, we weren't able to get past that argument. But we got a victory, and it's a very rare victory you get. So we celebrate. I'm doing just that. All right, I'm taking your calls again, folks. So if you haven't done so already, we've got a couple of minutes to start taking those calls. Give us a ring. Here's the number, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Let's work our way down from the list. Let's see. Sergeant in Texas wants to chat. Something about the Pentagon these days. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
I will obviously appeal to your experience on what questions to ask, but Alex did have a really good point today. As he had rehashed your question that you gave to them today, he said that it wouldn't really matter the answer, but if you would pose the question about the Podesta plan and
yes,
maybe kind of lead her into the question, sort of like, or Pete, if Mr. Hegseth, if you're there, you know, hey, would you concur that we are coming out of the second phase into the third phase of the Podesta plan, which is all out civil war, and kind of like, you know, it might catch him off his footing, and it'd be kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, no, I'm game for that. We could try to give that a try. I know tomorrow's be a little chaotic, but why not? Why not throw it his way and see what they say? I also will be speaking with a lot of top officials tomorrow too. So, you know, if we don't get it with Pete Hegseth, we could definitely try with the others. So I like the suggestion and we'll keep that in mind. Thank you for calling into the show today. We greatly appreciate your time, of course. All right, let's turn to Michael in Washington State. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna, enjoy your show. Real quickly, on the immigration front, the reason that these folks are coming here is in part due to a vacuum that's been created by the fact that we don't have a domestic birth rate that supports what we need to do as a nation. So that one reason they're coming here is because of that, and nobody really addresses what we got to do about that and turning the focus to increasing the birth rate. But I wanted to tell you because I served for over 30 years in the Army, and I retired as a major JAG. And one of the things that you might look at, there's a training manual. It's number 2000-25 from 1928 when we were the Department of War, or War Department back then, and it's on citizenship. And you might ask Hegseth about training recruits on the Constitution, okay? I was a JAG. I used to train troops on obeying orders and that whole process. It's not something for Senator Kelly to discuss the way that he did, because what he did is he interjected himself into the chain of command. And I've done my research on it. He can be recalled to active duty and be charged with at least five different articles of the UCMJ that I would recommend. And I used to advise commanders all the way from the company level up to the corps level, which is a three-star command. And I prosecuted. I did general court-martial, so I know what I'm talking about. He could be brought back to active duty. But when you're talking to Hegseth, back in Trump's first term, I and some retired officers submitted through the Heritage Foundation to the Department of Defense back then this idea of training troops on citizenship and the Constitution. And lo and behold, the first Trump administration created the 1776 Commission, which was exactly designed to do that sort of a thing. So that needs to be resurrected. I can tell you, on the very first day that Joe Biden was in office, he abolished that 1776 commission. So you know how important it is. So that's what I wanted to tell you. I think you can make a really good inroad with Hegseth on this whole idea. When we have those troops in the commands, whether it's in basic training and their initial training to learn the Constitution, or in their commands, that's something I think you can push. Look up that training manual. It's citizenship. Okay.
Well, I've got those. Thank you for that, by the way. And thank you for your service. I truly mean that. Thank you for that. I took the notes. We're going to look into that for sure. And we'll make sure to throw that his way. I think that's something he'd also actually be on board for. We know that he wants to uproot all of the wokeness and the nonsense that's infiltrated the military. And he definitely wants to push something like that. So we appreciate that. I'm going to flag that for him. And if we don't get that to him directly, we'll send it over to his people. They actually do a really good job over at the Pentagon, their comms team over there for Pete Hegseth, getting the information directly either to him or just at least getting it to the right people. And so that's something that I will definitely do. So I appreciate you calling in and getting that to us, because we want to make that a top priority. And especially because, you know, you have Mark Kelly out there, the senator, Mark Kelly out there trying to sit there and say that it's up to these individuals, these service members, to understand the law and decide whether something's legal or illegal. I think it's important for them to understand what the Constitution is all about. So definitely that's a great one. So thank you for that. Let's turn to Stephen in Alaska. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Hello, Brianna. I was trying to call you the other day. We were speaking on Tina Peters. In the state of Colorado. So I was quite the retard when I was younger and got in a lot of trouble. And I can't say that any of it was not my doing, because it was all my doing. However, I ended up in the Department of Corrections in Colorado for a total of 17 and a half years. And they are foul in there. They will put you in segregation for nothing. They don't need any proof. It would be a very big thing for you to get her out of there ASAP, because some of the stuff that I've seen guards do in there, some of the stuff they did to me, as a matter of fact, I mean, I got a tattoo done while I was in there that they didn't appreciate, and it wasn't racial or nothing. It just wasn't anything that they liked. And I got put in an administrative segregation for 2.5 years. That's 23-hour-a-day lockdown, 5 days a week, and the other 2 days are 24-hour-a-day lockdown. So I'm rooting for you. I hope she gets out because what she did, she's a patriot. She's not a criminal. What I did was criminal, you know. So she didn't have it coming. I did. So that's the difference. But on a better note, I've been out since 2005, and I haven't even had a traffic ticket. So something good happened.
That's good. I mean, that's good to hear. And thank you for being honest, honestly, because I think most people shy away from taking blame and they tend to shift the blame. So, Stephen, definitely thank you for that. Yeah, when it comes to Tina Peters, it's driving me nuts, right? Because we know she's was charged by the state of Colorado, so they can't just pardon her on the federal level and get her released. They've already tried to send over a letter asking for her to be transferred over to federal custody. Again, that has to get approved. It's not something that's instant, but I know Ed Martin over the weaponization division at the DOJ is fighting for her, so that's a big one I want to keep driving home, too. Also, you mentioned solitary. Sadly, the last update that we had of Tina Peters was that she maybe had gotten into like a little bit of an argument with another inmate. Nothing physical, verbal, and they shuffled her into solitary. So the last I read, I don't know if she's out yet, was that she was placed in solitary from this. I mean, this is a woman who is not in great health, who is obviously a patriot, but most importantly, she lost her son. She lost her son. They are a Gold Star family, and she lost her son. So the fact that Colorado continues to go after her and will not release her, I mean, she's a political hostage. I think it's actual embarrassment that the Trump administration hasn't started pulling back federal funding. She needs to be free. I love the fact that the president speaks up for her and puts out Truth Social posts, but there needs to be more there than just the Truth Social posts. This woman is being held hostage. She's not in good health, and we need her to come back, to be free, and to get the medical treatments that she needs. I mean, that's the reality. That really is. And so it's absolutely heartbreaking to see. Stephen, thank you for calling into the show. We greatly appreciate it, of course, that you did just that. So thank you. I want to turn to Chris in Washington State. Chris, welcome to the show. Chris, are you with us? All right. Sounds like Chris is not with us. Maybe we could bounce back to him later if he does jump back on that line. Let's turn to Mark in Florida. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello there. I wanted to say that if you speak to Mr. Hegseth, you can mention that the Podesta plan calls for a false flag operation to incite color revolution. The question is, does the counterintelligence of the United States have a false flag to false flag their false flag? In other words, do we have a theatrical thing ready to hijack an eventual false flag so that no color revolution will take place?
Good question. Get on my throwing that their way. Okay. I mean, it's,
I have many patents. I invent a lot of things. Believe me, for example, I've invented fences that go in the garage when there's a hurricane. So I'm selling a lot of those. I come up with a lot of great inventions. One of them was the tinfoil hat, by the way. I invented the tinfoil hat, and it's useful. If you were getting irradiated by satellites like you wouldn't believe, in any case, you should false flag a false flag. In other words, have a piece of theater ready to take over their false flag and deviate it, rendering it useless.
Yes. Well, we like your insight there. Thank you for calling in. We'll keep the suggestions in mind, of course. I think, though, I don't know, the tinfoil hat, Matt, don't you think that was probably like an Alex original? I feel like Alex is the OG when it comes to that, so you might get a little bit of a challenge and pushback from me on that front. But thank you for calling into the show. We greatly appreciate it, of course. All right, let's turn to Andrew. Oh, Chris is back. Chris is back on the line. Chris in Washington State. There you go. OG of the tinfoil hats. Chris, welcome to the show. We're glad he got you back on the line. What's going on?
I would like to ask the Pentagon. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to ask the Pentagon what they're doing in relation to the Monroe Doctrine.
Yeah, that's a good question. Do you have any specifics that you specifically want, or just ask in general?
General question. Thank you, War Room. Yeah. Appreciate you getting raw around the world, you know.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you calling in and sticking with us. So thank you, Chris, for that. Andrew in New York, you want to talk about Mandani. What's going on over there?
Hi, so I hope he doesn't do the policy that you're saying, the socialist crap that he said he wanted to take over like the groceries and all that type of crap sucks. And also, he shouldn't let out like jihadis from like jail and stuff. He said though, when he was talking to Trump, that he would like deport the poor people. Mm-hmm. And Trump said that if he messes around, then he won't give him like funding. Because, like, all the socialist policies are very bad. Like Obamacare, too. Like, that type of healthcare in Canada's healthcare sucks. Like, the maid stuff, the socialized healthcare, that they wait on lines for, like, months for, like, a surgery. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, hopefully, like, they don't do social stuff and
yeah.
They deport people and don't have like Sharia and all that type of like that crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, we hope that New York sees better days. Honestly, it's not looking good. I saw that the New York City Council is already voting in to give both themselves and Zoe Ramadani raises, which is obviously something that you want for them both. I mean, it's just so garbage. New York City, sadly, I say don't bail it out. Don't bail it out. When it hits rock bottom, you got to let it hit rock bottom in order for those changes to take place. These people who voted these policies in by voting for Zoe Ramadani and other radical left-wing terrorists who are pretending to be elected officials, of course, politicians, I'm just so over it. I'm just so over it. New York City, obviously, was my original stomping grounds back in the day as a New Yorker, so it's heartbreaking to say. But, yeah, I mean, I don't want to see any of that happen. It's not going to work out. We've seen socialism never work out for anyone. But the guy's a communist, so I don't think he's going to back down anytime soon. And he's also a coward when he's in front of President Trump. I mean, he's literally shaking. The guy is a wimp. So, Andrew, thank you for calling in. Of course, you know, all day about Zoe Ramadani. I don't like that guy at all. But we got more callers on the line. Dustin in South Carolina, I see you want to talk a little bit about the Podesta plan as well and the military vets. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, Rhea?
Hi, welcome to the show.
Well, I was going to talk about asking for the Podesta plan, but we already had callers in calling for that. So, yeah.
What about military vets, though? Was that your second topic?
Yeah. So it was mainly to see if they can do something to fix what is going on, you know, for military veterans. And the corruption within the VA.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you on this. I think we got Doug Collins, the former congressman who's now running the Department of Veteran Affairs. Yeah, there's a lot of issues. I'm suing the VA because, again, they mistreated J6ers, veterans, before they were even convicted of anything, pulling their benefits. There's a lot of issues with the VA, and I don't think people talk about how political it has gotten. And so, yeah, no, I think that's a major, major issue. I look forward to asking about that. That's something that's close, though, to Pete Hegseth, obviously the Secretary of War. I keep just saying his name like he's not an official at official capacity, so that's my fault. And also Sean Parnell as well. These two guys truly, truly bleed for their fellow veterans and want to help them out significantly. So, yeah, this is definitely a top issue for them. And we hope they can make some changes over there. I mean, it's just so frustrating that this is the ongoing issue that we continue to have to deal with, of course. So thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. I want to turn to Alex in Virginia. You're next up. Alex, welcome to the show.
Brianna, I'd like to congratulate you today on representing InfoWars lovely at the Pentagon. And just to think, the Onion wanted to own the InfoWars and make us look real stupid. And here we are asking questions in the Pentagon where they can't be. You think anybody's going to take the Onion seriously and put them at the Pentagon? No. But you did grand today, and I congratulate you, ma'am.
Well, first off, Alex, thank you for calling. You're my favorite person of the day, so thank you for that. It's not easy, right? Because these cowards, they left. They lied, by the way. I've read the contract. We've posted it online. It's not even a contract. It's like a, just acknowledge that you've read the rules of the Pentagon. You don't even have to abide by it. It's just they want you to know that this is what the rules are. And they didn't like that. So, they all made their way out the door. I heard their little whispers yesterday at the Pentagon that the corporate media hacks that made that whole photo op to get out. I heard little whispers that they're trying their best to beg and plead to get back into the room. So, I say no. It was actually enlightening too. All right. I got the good chuckle today. Matt was with me. Matt's my producer of the American Journal, of course, if you didn't know that. But Matt was with me, and we were hanging out at the Pentagon today, and we noticed my old employer, it's no longer, though. They had their little sticker on the ground for where their old placement was. So, of course, you know, it was great to take over. As many of you guys know, I used to work for Fox and got pushed out because of the jabs. And so it's always a good chuckle these days when I got to take over. So, Alex, thanks for calling in. I appreciate that. It's not easy to do either, but it was also really cool. Laura Loomer, I've actually never met her in person, but she's an awesome chick. I was next to her during the presser. I know a lot of people were sounding off about that. I thought that was really cool. Savannah Hernandez there as well. Jack Posobiec also in the room as well. James O'Keefe. So you've got a good crowd of people who are now credentialed to cover the Pentagon, and you're not going to get, like, I put out at least four, stories that were critical of the Pentagon under this new leadership. They weren't disrespectful. They were very respectful, but also voicing concerns about, you know, Qatar and other things. And they still gave me access. So to all those corporate media hacks to say, oh, no, they only let Brianna into the room because she will regurgitate MAGA talking points, that's a lie. They know that I challenge them. And they know that they get emails from me all on the regular anyway that pushes, you know, for real accountability and pushes for the actual facts. And I fact check constantly before sharing it, the media reporting with them first to make sure that it's legitimate, or to get their side on it. And so that's what we do. So, thank you for that. Yeah, it's quite the interesting, scope these days to be there, to be in the room. I look forward to, continuing to be in the room, and, you know, we'll figure things out as it goes on. Folks, I want to remind you too, tomorrow we're going again, Pentagon again. The Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, will be taking questions from the new media tomorrow morning. So I will be there. We will be talking to him. So you're going to want to watch our coverage. So make sure you tune in tomorrow morning. I'm sure we'll carry it over on the American Journal as well, of course. Also, I will be sitting down with a bunch of Pentagon officials doing one-on-one interviews with them. And that's going to be really cool because there's a lot of top officials. Like I keep saying, Sean Parnell, who's done an incredible job as, you know, Pete Hegseth's advisor, as well as the spokesperson for the Pentagon, as well as General Anthony Tata, who I knew prior to stepping into this position. But I will be sitting down with these great men, these patriots, and going over a lot, going over what their jobs are, what their everyday roles are, and then just asking them for, what are you doing? How are you going to fix this place? They're under fire too. They have a lot of people who are strategically placed by Democrats into these key roles so that the next administration, if it was ever Republican, couldn't uproot these issues. So they've got a lot of things to sift through, and, you know, we'll make sure that we talk to them about that. Also worth noting is Laura Loomer's been doing an incredible job of going out there and exposing a lot of these people who are in the Pentagon and should not be there because they're so biased. And, because there are obviously some of them are deep state operatives allegedly. So it's going to be good to have her there too, asking these tough questions. Again, they didn't want cushy reporters. Otherwise you wouldn't ask for me. You wouldn't ask for Laura Loomer. You wouldn't ask for Jack Posobiec, to step in the room and to ask these questions. And, you know, Posobiec knows what he's talking about when he does just that. So again, it's interesting to sit back and see. I must say, in the meantime, though, if you haven't told you already, which I know I told you a couple of times, we have the BOGO sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. If you want to support our efforts to be in the room of places like the Pentagon, we need you to support us over at thealexjonesstore.com. That's how you send me to the rooms like these, ask these tough questions. We got a good deal going on right now, too, over at thealexjonesstore.com right now. It is an incredible deal. It's BOGO. So buy one, get one free on all your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com. Now's the time to stock up because this is worth it. And I know a lot of you guys were wondering, methylene red, you guys going to get in stock? We've stocked up again on that. Don't know how much longer it's going to last, though. That's one of our top sellers. And if you ever watch me host the morning show, you know, for the first couple of minutes of the first hour, I'm like stumbling all over the place until I finish drinking my drink, which obviously has both the blue and the red in it. And all of a sudden, I no longer have brain fog and everything seems to make sense. And I mean, all right, I won't oversell, but my brain fog does get better. So again, this is something that you're going to want to do. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Make yourself healthier. We're trying to support the MAHA movement by putting out great supplements, high quality supplements over at the shop. So please support us by heading over to thealexjonesstore.com. Also, as you guys know, as we just spoke to the callers, they're trying to shut us down. They're not going to win though. They keep trying, but it's not going to work for them. So make sure in the meantime though, you head on over to alexjonesapp.com, download the app so you can stay in touch with us wherever we go. Again, my interviews over at the Pentagon, they're going to air on the American Journal on Thursday morning. So make sure you tune in, of course, because I'm going to be asking some tough questions. Oh, there you go. So you guys, make sure you head on over there and tune in. All right, that does it for me on the War Room. Thank you to Harrison Smith for allowing me to swap places with him, of course. In the meantime, I'll catch you back on the American Journal on Thursday. Have a good night.
I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch.
Final batch.
Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act, and not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Bodies Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com. Buy now and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.